Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, hi, this is Psychic X Journeyman. You're on Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio. You're on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Tonight we're doing 2 hours of angel readings and we're chatting about whatever, and actually we're going to talk on relationships and stuff like that. Actually, I think we're going to really do this talk on relationships because it seems like that's the big forefront here for everybody. That I've noticed that a lot of my readings, almost all my readings, we've been doing a lot of things about relationships. And it seems like people are talking on a lot of things and they're not really paying attention to how they feel and what the connection is. And it's more about what they want, putting themselves into a selfish mode of saying, okay, this is the person I want and that's all I'm going to do. When they should be looking at the situation and go, okay, this is what you want, but also what do you feel? Do you feel the connection between the two yourself? When you look at the person, say you look at a snapshot or something like that, when you look at that, what do you feel? Is there a connection? Or is it just a want? And sometimes we call those empty wants. When we are not looking and listening to our angels and our guides and the path that God has laid out for us to actually sit there and go, this is the way I should go. Because, you know, for a fact, everything happens for a reason, and it always happens for your best interest, what's good for you and everyone concerned. I mean, I know when I had to work on manifestation, the one phrase that I use is this or something else, something better is going to manifest for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good for all concerned. And so what we're doing there, we're focusing on what we want, but we're also opening the door to also get something that we can't see, that we can't deal with, but asking for assistance that when it comes into our lap, we can deal with it. The situations of some of the things I've seen lately, even some of the things I've had to deal with myself. I had a particular relationship that I was working with, and I just felt like she was the one, not because it was something that I really wanted, but it was just some of the things that just started falling into place. Some of the things, almost all of the things we had in common and all the things we had, but also the fun of the relationship itself, of just unfolding and the anticipation of every day of actually seeing her and seeing her smile and seeing just her. Because Skype is really cool when it comes to relationships these days, where you actually have to open your mind up to technology that can actually enhance your relationship. So, but at the same time, you can't let it all just sit there and play out for you. You have to interact. And what we mean by that is interaction means not asking questions, not doubting it, but actually living it and enjoying it and anticipating in the relationship. So therefore, that's the point we're talking about letting go, which means being vulnerable. Put yourself into the relationship. And sometimes we do have to let things go, so therefore they can fall into place. How will we put this? It's like, I guess the one thing I'm looking at these days is I got certain people and certain particular things. We're not mentioning any names or anything like that. There are just certain cases that I've actually worked with where the one thing I see is the lack of interaction, the lack of communication. But actually looking at the situation and saying, okay, what's going to unfold? What could actually unfold is you interacting in the relationship and expressing how you feel in the process of asking, you know, in the process of you expressing yourself and saying, this is the person I really care about, even to the point where there are certain things you don't like about them, being totally honest about that. Because falling in love with somebody is falling in love with the good traits as well as the ones that you don't like. But it's still, if you take one away from the other, you only have half a person. So therefore, in order to deal with and be in a relationship with a whole person, you have to acknowledge the whole thing and love them unconditionally and realize that they are who they are. So in that particular situation, we look at the situation and go, maybe the problem with the idea of finding the one is opening yourself up to that instead of putting yourself in the search mode of saying, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to keep searching for somebody and we get caught up in that mode of searching and searching and searching. And when we find the right person, we're so caught up in the search And we don't realize the person we've been looking for the whole time is right there in front of our faces. I mean, when I met this girl, I just knew what was going to happen. I knew where I was going to go. The latter part, I don't understand, because it doesn't make any sense. I'm a person who thinks, okay, if you have a couple situations or problems or certain things that arise, you deal with them. You work through them. You work together. You don't sit there and go, oh, this person's just like the last person and just run away. You still need to trust what you were feeling. I don't care what anybody says. If you have a situation with a particular person you're with and they have a tendency to go and avoid anything that has to do with the relationship that's sensitive and the feelings itself, more likely you have a person there who does feel the same way you do. They're just not wanting to acknowledge it. Or the one book I used to love to read a lot was 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives. And in that book, it talks about friends and family, that to realize that when what you're looking for in a relationship and the significant other is also a friend and a family member, and that is your first priority. You cannot sit there and tell somebody that you love them and care about them and then make them number two and say, my friends are more important. You have never heard a love song say, I wish my friends were here more often. No, most of the time, I've never heard a song like that, to tell you the truth. What you hear is a person wishing most of the time that they would have given and expressed themselves more and spent more time with that person. Because, see, the truth is, when you find a significant other and you fall in love and you really know that this person and it starts going fast, that's normal. Don't ever judge a relationship that you're in by where you've been, because those relationships are over. They've more likely led you in the direction to be in the relationship that you're in now. So what you need to do is you need to look at what's happening. Look at the person that you're with. What do you see? What do you feel? If you catch yourself saying, well, this person is kind of like the last person, look for the sincerity behind what they're saying. Because the more likely the person that you was with obviously wasn't sincere, or you'd still be with them. So there's going to be some similarities, because it's like if you have a person who pursues, you have two guys pursuing the same woman. They're going to use the same techniques to get her. One wants to put her in bed, give her anything she wants. And then the other person wants to really show how he cares and feels and probably does the same thing, except the difference is sincerity behind what he's doing. He really cares about her. He loves her. He wants to make her life easier and more simpler. He wants to be there for her to make that happen. The other person, all he cares about is what he wants. And there is a difference. What you need to do is you need to pull back from the situation. And first of all, don't date two people at the same time. And follow through with the relationship that you're with and see where it goes. I've seen this a lot, too, where we have people dating four and five, six different people, not realizing their energy is being pulled in five or six different directions. So you're never going to get a real good read on that, of who's the one you should be with, because your energy is all scattered. So you need to focus on just one person, see where it goes. If it doesn't go where you want to, you'll see that, and you'll learn. So therefore, when you do find the right one, the one thing is hard to do, and I found it hard to do myself, was with my particular person I was just with, which I wish desperately she would call and open up, because I really do miss her a lot. I mean, just the idea of the communication we had, and I just really miss the girl. And it's just one of those things of, when you look at the situation, I have no intentions of actually giving up on her, and I have no intentions of dating anybody at this moment. So what we're going to do is just play it out and trust the direction I feel like I need to go into. And that's what we need to do with any kind of relationship, and that's what I'm saying to everybody out there. You know, one person, that's it. Focus, follow, see where it goes. If it doesn't pan out, then go. Because we had this discussion before about the spark, and people have a tendency to go, well, the spark's not there anymore. That's because the spark is what gets it going. And then it turns into a flame or a fire. And depending on what kind of fuel you give it, depends how big your flame is going to be. So therefore, what are you going to put into this fire to keep it going? And that's the whole thing. If you're not going to put anything into it, then you're not going to get anywhere. And we also have to realize that the flame and the fuel, they're really on the same level. There's a space between the two, which is the energy that's being created, which we can't see, but it does exist, and it is there. So when you get into a relationship with somebody, it's the same thing. You know, you have to learn how to feel the energy and the love that's there, because it's going to be, you're never going to be in a situation where you can see certain things in a physical sense. It's going to be something that you're going to have to trust and feel. So check that out as well. Let's go on to some callers and answer some questions and that kind of thing and see what's up. Hello. Area code 616, you're on the air. Welcome. And what's your name?
Hi, my name is Cecile, and I'm calling from Michigan. Yes. And my question is, I lost touch with someone I was very, very interested in, and actually they cut the communication, and recently, as of today, actually, I gave them a phone call, and it was just ringing, so I was wondering what was going on.
It's just ringing? I mean, how many times did you call this guy? Because I feel like what I think of the situation is something that, the word I keep getting is something that's not over. And it's like, I think it's got a lot of more chapters to go, put it that way. So, we were talking about this before when we started talking about what do you feel in the situation. What's his name?
His name is Jared.
Aaron?
Jared.
Oh, Jared. You say Jared, right?
Jared.
Okay.
Y-A-R-E-D, yeah.
Wired? Okay. I'm sorry. It's just...
it's okay.
Well, you have a strong accent, so I'm trying to understand. I don't want to make you mad or anything like that, so I don't think I will. I'm just saying with the situation, I mean, when you say that you called and it just rings,
okay.
Has this been several calls and several things you've been working with?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Have you called him more than just once?
Recently, this is the first time I call him in like 2 months, but before I used to call him like twice a day, or like, you know, every time he would say I'll call, and then, you know, like maybe he doesn't call, but I would call probably a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then
Well, the first thing I would do is I would sit here and look at the situation and what you really want to do with this thing and where you want it to go. I keep getting the impression that she's prompting that you should call. And I actually get the impression you should call a couple more times and just leave it alone. I do feel like a call back. I feel like someone's going to communicate with you. So with the situation we were talking about before, how do you feel about this thing with this person? Do you feel like there's a connection with there, or something that you really want to build upon?
Yes, I mean, when I couldn't reach him anymore, I did a lot of thinking, and it is true that I was, you know, I went through a lot of feelings, like I was upset, and then I didn't understand, you know, it was confusion afterwards, and then it just made me realize that, some of the things that I thought I was, you know, over with, like, you know, getting myself
mm-hmm.
lost into someone, you know, or, you know, being so much into someone that you kind of forget about yourself. It just made me realize that I still had work to do with that. And
right.
And it kind of made sense to me because I myself kind of felt tired of, you know, always, you know, calling and trying to maintain the communication because at that time there was distance, like, you know, like he got a job and then after that I got a job in another city, so I had to move. And so basically
mm-hmm.
me, you know, overly communicating was a way for me to keep the connection, but
mm-hmm.
I, I felt like I took it to another extreme. And I know that it's an issue for me. And, you know, I realize that there are some critical points that I need to work on, like, you know, having my own life and just focusing on myself. First thing first, that will maybe get things going again. But as of now, I mean, I just want things to maybe like move a little slower because it was so intense. So, but I cannot stop thinking about this person. I'm just realizing that I cannot stop thinking about this person and what you were saying. I could just relate to it, but I don't know. I was just wondering if it was the same thing for them as well.
Well, you lost communication with him, right?
Yeah.
It was something that he stopped communicating with you, right?
Right.
I feel like he did it on purpose because he just wanted to get away and move away from the whole thing. I feel like the intensity was still there. I just feel like it was more of a situation of, and you get a lot of this too, right now, I just want to take our society and slap them really good, because it's good to go out and focus on yourself and find out who you are. So then later on, when you get with the right person, you don't lose sense of self. Because I really get sick of hearing a lot of people say, well, they got out of a relationship and now they have freedom. Well, if that was the case with the relationship in the first place, until they deal with that fear of commitment, they're not going to have anything else. They're going to have the same situation. They're going to keep attracting it. So they need to keep constantly understanding that even focusing on self, you're going to constantly change. And the reason I'm saying that is because the particular person you had is a person that wanted to stay the same way he was. So the ideal, the relationship that you guys had with each other was changing both you guys, but it's one of those things that's going to happen in favor of even having a relationship, you know? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's okay to have a sense of self because you have to have that power and the foundation for your relationship. So you have to know who you are. I don't think he really knew who he was, so therefore when he got this intense relationship and stuff, he kind of like was overwhelming. So I feel like the reason he cut communication off is because he was not wanting to change. He wanted to stay who he was.
That's still the case. I mean, because, so he wasn't ready to, I don't want to use the word sacrifice, but, you know.
It's not the word of sacrifice. It's not the ideal sacrifice. It's just the idea of being vulnerable, opening up, letting the relationship, because I've had this before with other radio shows I've done where we sit here and talk about the idea that people don't realize that when you get into a relationship, first of all, things have already changed. You're no longer single. Now you're with somebody. So there's already a change going on. And then usually in the process, you start giving, and we don't even use the word giving up. It's just the ideal. You start making choices in favor of your relationship. So there are certain people, certain situations and stuff that you just don't do anymore because you want to keep this person in your life. And people, I don't think that a lot of people understand that. They start thinking they want to merge two lives together. That's great, you know, bringing two lives together and becoming one in a relationship. And they think the sense of self means you don't give up who you are. What it means is you give up yourself, and then you just let the relationship go where it's going to go. Because I've seen this before with friendships where people go, I don't want to get into a relationship because I'm scared of losing the friendship, not realizing that's what you had in the first place, and it's going to evolve into something more intense.
Right.
But it's always going to have that foundation of friendship. But
right.
if you don't let it go there, you could ruin the friendship as much as going there. And they don't realize that that's a catch-22. So the vulnerability here is the ideal trusting what you have between each other and going with it, and like we talked about before, letting go. Go with the flow. Go with that freaking flow. Means let go and let it go where it's going to go. If it doesn't pan out, more likely, even the friendship itself wasn't going to pan out. But I'm saying with this situation that you're in, that you need to sit there and think about the focus of what you want. Because I feel like the person you're still talking and dealing with and you're trying to get a hold of is still being a little leery about the situation of wanting to talk to you because of what was before and the intensity of that whole thing, where he's not really sure that he can actually deal with it again, where he would probably end up pulling away. That's what I was saying before. You know, you can keep calling in. I get the impression, because I keep getting communication back, I get the idea of opening up and actually talking and maybe even going back into a relationship, but I also feel like there will be a point where he'll pull away. That's what I was sitting there saying. The thing I got was call him a couple more times. If you still get nothing going on, leave a message. Tell me you want to talk to him. And then the ball's in his court, and you're going to see what's going to happen. This is a hard situation for a lot of people to sit there and go, okay, this test theory that if it's meant to be, it will be, and just let it go. Because if it's going to be, it's going to be. So you got to think about the situation of getting together in the first place. It wasn't like you called ahead of time in the sense of word of anything physical. It's just something that came together. And in order for it to get back in where you want it to be at, where, you know, the intensity of things were working out, you have to let it fall back that way again. And that's the hard part. It's not the idea of waiting. It's just the idea of living your life. Live your life. Do what you're going to do and that kind of stuff. Like I said before, I would, from what I can pick up with the situation, I would call what I get is two more times. Leave a message. Leave a nice message. Tell me you want to talk. You want to, you know. Whatever, you know, one thing with the conversations is I always tell people, don't call people. And if you're in the fear that if you don't call them, they're never going to talk. They're never going to call you. You should only call people because you really want to talk, you want to communicate, you want to get things started. But don't do it out of fear that if you don't do it, because that fear is going to do nothing but tap on the fears of the other person, and the relationship will probably start up again, but it might falter out again because it's been based up on fear of bringing it back together. So what we're trying to do here is the intensity that you had before, what we want to do is we want to bring that back up and experience that love and then take it to the next level of really putting it unconditionally. So therefore you guys can have what you had before. And it's one of those situations where it's going to be kind of hard to deal with him at the state he's in right now. That's what I'm saying. You should just give him a call, give him a couple of calls and let it go. And go back to what you were doing before.
Wow. And that's, that makes sense, though, because, Because,
if you love somebody, I'm just saying, people don't realize that this is the truth. I like the relationship I was in. It was like, you want it back. But you also have to understand the situation that when it does come back, it's still a new relationship, and you want it to be that way. So if you, the idea of letting go the past, because all those events have happened, we still reminisce about those things, but they could also interfere in the future we can have with a person. So we need to clear all those things out in favor of, that's what I was saying before when we started, I was having my little thing I was talking before we even started taking calls, of people looking at the person as right across from you and having the respect enough for that person to judge, well, not judge them, but accept them for who they are. And we do have a tendency to have these little things in the back of our head that we've been through relationships before. I mean, we do have a tendency to tap on some of those things, but I'm just saying with the situation with this one, I feel like it could come back together, but it has to be something that's done in the now where it's a realization that what you guys have gone through and that brought you to the point where you're at now, it doesn't exist anymore. It's done. It's over. So what you're wanting is what you had before, because you feel like that two people still love each other. And from what I can see with the situation, I would agree with that. But I'm just saying you want to also treat it like a new relationship, like this is the first time you guys got together, because realistically, since you haven't seen each other for so long, it is like getting back together for the first time, because you still got to feel it out just like you did when you met him the first time. So that's what you need to do. And it's like, what I said before about asking yourself, what do you want? Do you want what you had, what you can't get? Or do you want something with somebody you love, but you want the next chapter? Because you feel like there is more to this book than just what you had before, correct?
Correct.
So that's what I'm saying, there is more chapters. It's just the ideal that a person in this kind of situation, you got to let them come to you. And if they don't come to you, doesn't mean anything less of you. It just means that they are just not strong enough for what you want. And it means the idea of opening up. Like I said before, my little saying is, I focus, I picture it, I feel it, and then I put a little twist on it and say, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of everyone concerned. So therefore, everybody gets what they want. And it's all for the best for each one of them. So that's what you also want to do, too. We all sit here and talk about, well, I love this person, I really care about this person. This is a time to prove that if you are really in love with this person and you come to the realization that maybe he does belong with somebody else and so do you, that's the love coming through saying, I love this person enough to let them go, be with who they're supposed to be with, so therefore I can move on to as well. And you're looking for some closure on some things that you've gone through and some things that you don't understand. You're looking for that closure. And it might just be the ideal that the realization of calling somebody who's not strong enough for you. That's what I want you to look at yourself and focus, because you're looking at the situation and saying, I'm trying to find myself. Well, how strong of a person are you? How much of a loving person are you that you could actually put yourself in a position and say, can I let somebody go because I love them? And then when he does connect with you, be that way. I mean, when I was with Ruth, the thing I tried to do the most is, there were certain things that would happen sexually, emotionally, and that kind of stuff, but I always tried to look at her as who she was. Who's Ruth? You know, sexual, emotional, physical, the love and that kind of stuff. Those are parts of us, but the person themselves, the spiritual, the soulmate that you want to be with, who is that person? And try to see that person. And I think you're going to get a chance to really see the person you're talking about for who they are, and to see the real person, because I feel like that's what you want back. Like you look at the situation, the pictures, and the memories that you had together. But there's something about seeing somebody that you want. You saw him. And I think he's in a position right now where he's scared to death that you might see who he really is. Am I not liking when you've already seen that? That's true, isn't it?
That I'm not like the true him.
Yes. But in the process of seeing through somebody, you're actually really seeing them. So when you sit here and look at the situation, what I was talking before about, he distanced himself from you, that was the thing he was scared of too, that you might see him.
Hmm.
That you see the real him, and he felt like you might not like him.
No, you see, and I just had this feeling, and I didn't want him to feel that way. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was able, I noticed, I was able to get to see, you know, through him, like some parts of
mm-hmm.
of the, you know, through him. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Why
it's a hard
did
situation.
Like, why did you get that I was not, you know,
So the one thing we have to sit here and think about, too, the situation, what you're trying to do is you're trying to figure out some way of why things happened the way they did, but it seems like you want to blame yourself more than you want to sit there and look at the situation of a person who, or like I put it, put blame where blame belongs. We have a tendency to blame ourselves first before we go anywhere, when we shouldn't be doing that. We should look at the situation and go, did you do everything? Did you put all the effort into it? Did you do what you felt you needed to do? Because The real term here is, everybody always says, if I would have done this or I would have done that. The point is, you did exactly what you were supposed to do at the time you did. Okay? Because if things would have been different, they would have been different. They wasn't. They happened just the way they were supposed to happen. So the idea of sitting here and looking at yourself and going, well, what did I do wrong? Well, sometimes it's hard to sit there and look at yourself and say, maybe you didn't do anything wrong. You know, it seemed like to me like you gave all you could. You can't give any more than what you got. I'm just saying, if you give this in time, because I got to go on to the other college, and I just feel like from what I can pick up with the thing, you give it some time, you're going to get some communication. I don't feel like the situation between you and him are over. I feel like there's still some things going on. I see communication coming. I get the idea before, between now and Friday, I still feel like something coming through. And I get the impression that when he does call you, that you should listen. And then take it from there. All right?
Okay. But I should wait, or should I still call between now and Friday?
No, like I said before, you should give him a couple more calls. But I still feel like communication coming forward now on Friday. So give those last two calls. But after you do the calls, leave it alone. Because realistically, you've done everything you can. It's a hard situation because right now I have somebody that I feel like who's realistically, when I see her and I feel her, she wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the freaking morning. Now she's done everything she can where there is no way of communicating with her. I've tried. So the only thing you can do in a situation like that is trust that you put it out there, you talk to your angels, and you've asked for assistance and intervention. You said, you know, you talk to God, the angels, everyone around you, and say, hey, you know, I want some help here. And I would do the same thing with your situation, too. I feel like it really helped out. And if you have, I would just sit there and get more constructive and more focused on exactly what do you want, the outcome here. And what I mean by that is, with me, I put it, and try to simplify it, too, where I put it down simply saying, I want to be with this person. I want this person back in my life as my girlfriend. And then, are you just simply back in my life and put it in the past tense of saying, hey, thank you, God and angels, for this person being back in my life. Now she's my wife, and we have a great future and a great life together, and everything's great. Thank you very much, and then you let it go. Picture it in your mind how you would like that to play out. Seriously, there's a book out there by John Randolph Price called You Can Be, Do, it's called Empowerment. You can find it on Amazon. I found it myself. And it's got a couple of procedures in there where you can actually use, this, as he calls it, the television screen in your mind to write these things out, but to also play the movie out where you can get it visually in your mind, where you can see it, feel it, the colors, just everything. And you just feel like this, that these things could help with the manifestation. But it's also, you also stress that if it doesn't happen, then just realize that if you put all that effort into it and it doesn't pan out, then open it up to what is good for you and see what drops into your lap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But try those things. I feel like it would really help you out with your situation, because I'm putting it out there and sitting there going, but I understand where you're coming from, because I sit there and I've seen pictures of her, and every time I see a picture of this woman, I just see a future with her. And I see her as my wife, and I've never really seen that with anybody. So you have to take those into account, too. And maybe they're not communicating with you, but maybe what the point is you need to cut the communication off here, too, because you're trying to figure out some kind of physical way or something that you're going to say or do that's going to trigger something where you can get what you want, when it could be the opposite of what you're thinking of interaction. And that's what I've had to come to a realization, too. I've let somebody get to the point where it's like, if I miss her and I can still picture all the things we've done together, more than likely she can too. So you have to let those things go on. But also, if it was really what you thought it was, it will come back together. If it was something like you were saying before, was it really what I thought it was? Be honest with yourself after a period of time and say, okay, what's going on? Person's not communicating with me. But there seem to be other people who are.
Mm-hmm.
So you leave your mind open and say, okay, pick one, see where it goes. If it does go somewhere else, I think it's like what you, like I said before, this or something better is manifest. So you want the best for yourself. You want the best for everything concerned. I always sit there. The one thing I like to stress too about manifestation, that you see the real good one, as in the sense of manifesting in the best interest of everyone concerned, then you'll see that. Like I simply manifested a ride home one day. And the person who picked me up was an old friend I hadn't seen in a month. But they had some questions they wanted to ask me as a psychic, and I needed a ride home. Now, you see, both people in that situation got what they needed. I got a ride home, and she got her answers to her question. That's what I'm talking about. But if you're in a situation where somebody gets hurt, then there's something about that whole thing that you're pushing, and you need to let these things go on, because manifestations are something you let go, and they fall into place very easily. That's what I'm talking about, relationships, real good ones. The reason they go so fast is because the good ones do. Everything falls into place like it's supposed to. And people get freaking out about that whole thing. It's like with your friend you're talking about. I think things are just too good where he was freaking. So give us a call back, tell us how things go on, and follow through with that and see what happens.
Okay, I will.
Let us know, okay? Right. And take in the information, go back in the archives and listen to it again. Because I'm just saying, if you listen to some of the things, and I've always told people, especially women, because it's kind of funny, too. If you go out there and get this book, it's called 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives. There's also another one for men called 10 Stupid Things Men Do to Mess Up Their Lives. And there's number three, 10 Stupid Things Couples Do to Mess Up Their Relationships. Check those books out. The reason I didn't like them too well, because they were so right on the money. So... check that out. And I had a friend of mine who read the one about 10 Stupid Things about women. And I was reading that thing, and it just really helped me with relationships to see the other side. I read all of them. I like to get insight. I mean, when I'm in a relationship, I'm a person who would, I do what it takes for success in a relationship. I don't look for ways out. I look for ways to make it work. Because realistically, relationships of people all, you know, most of the times you're going to, in a good one, you find people that you have all kinds of things in common with, but you still have a person to deal with who has certain patterns and traits to deal with. And it's to realize that those things exist, and you have them too. So it's two people coexisting with each other. But if they accept each other for who they are and realize that's just who they are, then it's a whole lot easier to just go with the flow. And don't hang on to the freaking tree limbs that are extending from the shore, because you're just kind of in anticipation of what might be coming up might scare you. Take it all in, because you've seen things in the past before that you didn't think you were going to get through, and here you are on the other side. So you did get through. Just open yourself to the possibility of what's going to happen, because you did before, spontaneously. That's how come you're here now. I'm sure you've gone through a lot of stuff.
Yes.
So just take those in and realize that you came up with a way to get through those things. And this situation you're talking about now, take it for what it is. I feel like it's, something's going to come through. But also in the same sense, if it doesn't, it's nothing that you've done or didn't do. You didn't call enough, you didn't do something. It's just the ideal of maybe something you said, I want the best. And maybe in some sense of the word, if it doesn't pan out, maybe he wasn't what was good for you because of where he's at now. Because if you know, there's certain things that do have to happen. He has to get through certain things before you guys can really commit, and that's the whole thing. I mean, like I had people say, well, guys have commitment issues. Well, let's find out why. That brings you closer together. It's like, I would say when you two get back together, the more you look at each other and learn from the reflection, the closer you get. The more you want to criticize each other, it pushes you away from each other. So learn not to criticize. Learn to, it's hard, but it's not impossible. And take those things in. I always tell people in situations of waiting for to get back with somebody, I think it's a learning process. We should look at ourselves and say, okay, maybe there were certain things in that relationship that I need to work on too as well. So therefore, when we get back, we can just be as close as we was ever. And maybe even pick up what we left off and go forward. So try that, okay?
Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And give us a call back and give us an update on how that's going, okay? And also, I tell everybody out there, if you ever want to call me for a private consultation, it's just as easy as calling 740-601-1057. We'd be glad to help you out any kind of way you want to. Or go to my website, which I have not done this in a while, so I'm trying to remember it. I think it's psychicxjourneyman. Yes, I know them, so hold on. It's psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, I think. I have to look that up. I should have looked up some of this stuff before I came on here, but I was so in anticipation of doing a show. I haven't done a show in a while, and this is my first one. So welcome to my first show.
It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you, and give us a call back already, and you have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay, area code 910. Hello, welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Hi, it's Jay. How are you?
It's who?
Jay, J-A-E.
Oh, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I don't know.
I don't know. You don't know. Well, me neither.
It's one of those easy ways to do it, isn't it? Just stay neutral, and when things do get better, you can just embrace them.
Yeah, well, I'm trying.
So how can I help you tonight?
Well, I don't know. I'm just so tired of the chase.
Tired of the chase?
I'm just tired of the chase. I'm just tired of the chase. I'll call you back or, you know, it's just, I'm just tired of the chase. You know, I'll call and I'll call them again and they'll call and we're interested, but I'm just too old for this. 41 years old. Not that I'm old.
How old are you?
41.
How old are you? 41?
41.
How old is your guy here?
I don't have one. I'm done.
Okay, how old was this one that you had before you were done?
Well, it's been a while. It's just, you know, my track record, their track record is horrifying. You know, it's like you said, you know, it's they have their mentality is five or six women. They can't keep up with themselves. You know, it's just, I'm very loyal. My whole thing is loyalty is a golden rule with me. If I catch anyone just not being honest and they can't, and they're stuttering and they can't keep up with themselves, I'm done. I can't do it. You know, I have children. I'm a grandmother. My daughter's a Marine. I just moved from Boston. Yes. I just moved from Boston to Sunset Beach, North Carolina. And I don't have time. You know, I just now I'm starting over a new life, you know, and it's just, you know, I have a son that's 14, a granddaughter that's 2. So I'm done now. I'm in a beautiful place. And I just don't have time for that nonsense. You know, my kid's father, who I was with him for like 10 years, has seven children. And
really?
I have his first, yes, I have his first 2. And there was like, the minute I found out he was cheating, he was done. You know, I found out he had a child with someone else. We're echoing. You know, I found out that he had a child with someone else and then another one and another one. And then I was done immediately. And so now he has seven children, 5 mothers. I'm disgusted. So then I had a relationship right after that. That lasted 9 years. I was with my children's father for 10 years. Then I took a year off, had another relationship for 9 years. I've been kind of single ever since. I dated a tiny bit, but you know what? That chase that I was just talking about, when they start stuttering and they're talking to other women and women are calling me, you're with my man. I'm like, what do you mean? He said he was single. How is he? I can't do it. So it's really hard for me to find that one person that doesn't have that extra family and all that baggage. But I know he's out there because there are loyal people out there. But it's just that, you know, I'm old school. I like that domestic stuff. I like to feed my man. We like to go out. I like to relax. You know, like I said, I have children, so I have to be very careful because you don't know. You know, I need them. You know, I have to have someone honest and careful around my children. But I did meet this one guy not too long ago. And I was supposed to meet him a couple of weeks ago, but he ended up sick. And I do believe he was really sick. You know, he had something going on. But I did call him. I was actually on my way out there. He just lives maybe an hour and 20 minutes away. And we were talking on the phone, and he's just getting divorced and stuff, you know, whatever. And he seems very honest. And just like your last caller, I called him, and he said, oh, you know, I'll call you back and whatever. And, you know, and I hesitated to call him. I was just going to pick up the phone while you guys were chatting. And you know what?
Right.
I'm just tired of the chase. Why can't he call me? He has two of my phone numbers. He has my email address. Like, why? But he did offer to take me to Vegas. You know, but I couldn't because of my son. Like, he just really, everything that manifestation you were talking about. And, you know, I'm very, very spiritual. Like, I can close my eyes, meditate. I can think of things. And it's almost like my father just passed away in February. And I remember sitting on the edge of the sofa, and I helped him actually transition over. And, And I was sitting there, and I had said before he had passed, I said, you know what, Dad, I just wish I could have that guy that has them three things that I want, besides that loyalty and trust and honesty and all that. I just want a guy that has a truck, a motorcycle, maybe a boat, lives comfortable, because I can give him everything else. You know, I just, you know, I'm half of 80. That's how I look at things now. I'm 40. I'm half of 80.
Yeah, but you don't know if 80 is the one is the ideal. You know, it's like looking at situations. I saw this the other day. You can take it in consideration what you want. But it said, don't tell me the sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon. So you look at the situation as you're going through and you say, okay, how come I can't find people who seem like they have baggage and they have all kinds of good things going on? But you also said that you're talking about your track record. So therefore you still think about that, and it's something you seriously focus on from time to time.
I'm fine with my track record. Because that's their problem.
I understand.
No,
okay.
Not that I'm fine with it. I didn't do anything wrong. They did.
No, I understand that, but I still believe that whatever we focus on, we have a tendency to attract. So any kind of energy that's put on that, even good or bad, it's still focusing on that, where it can actually attract someone who has the same problem or the same situations, or even you might be able to deal with yours, but you might find someone else who's not too happy with their track record who's still coming into your life. I'm just saying the first impression I got was learn how to look at today as the first day of your life, and whatever conspired in your past doesn't exist anymore, so therefore don't let it affect your future.
Well, that's why I'm down here.
I'm
done with all that shit.
Life. I'm just saying, you started a new life, so therefore, prove to yourself and say, okay, I've started a new life. So the old one does not exist anymore, so there is no track record. There are no old lovers. There are no nothing.
Well,
okay,
he
they
has
don't
to exist because I have kids. I have to do that.
See, your kids have wives. They are who they are. They have nothing to do with those people. If those people are not a part of your life in this general sense, I mean, I did this. I tell people to do this, and they look at me like I'm crazy, but I did the same thing with my ex-wife, and my ex-wife is married to my brother. There's ways of doing it. There's just, you have to sit there and favor what is good for you, and, you know, the idea of having those, they interact with their fathers, or they don't, but that's their choice. It's nothing that has to do with you, and I understand you have kids. I'm not saying you don't, but
well, I have kids with
there,
my ex.
Not
I
there.
Have to deal with them.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is when they're not there, when they're not physically in your house, when they're not physically seeing those kids.
Oh, yeah, no, my house is clean.
They don't exist. They don't exist.
Right. Yeah, I feel like I had children with my brother.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he'd be a great person. Like, he'd be a great friend, but he was a horrible, horrible mate. Like, we're great. Like, I totally erased my relationship with him. Absolutely not. Like, I want not, like, him and I now, absolutely not. Like, his children's mother, like, all that, want nothing to do with them. Like, but his daughter and stuff, I love his other daughter. Like, I don't look at, like, them, like, in any way, shape, or form, it's not their fault. Like, absolutely not. Like, that's why I say I have no, he was just a sperm donor. Like, I feel like I went to a clinic and had children. So I can't, absolutely not. My apartment right now is cleansed. Like, my place, absolutely not. No one's ever been in it. So it can't, my threshold's nothing. No one ever came in here from my past. I can't allow that. You know what I mean? This place, I'm 847 miles away from where I used to live.
Okay.
And I will not allow anything.
How do you forgive and let go?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I can't allow that to come here. I can't allow anything at all whatsoever that tainted from nothing. No. Right? This 41, from 41 now on, is a whole new, brand new chapter. Absolutely.
Okay, let's take it one step further, and all the things we've just talked about that you don't want, don't ever mention them again.
Right.
And then start focusing on exactly what we want, because I was sort of focusing too and saying, I just can't find a girl who doesn't have kids, who doesn't have, like you said before, baggage and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a special journal for that, and started writing in there and actually sit down with
it. Oh,
day.
I have a brand new one on my bed, actually.
I'm just saying, with the situation, I put down exactly what I wanted on there. And when I met this girl, she's never married. She didn't have any kids. And it seemed like she was really letting go of all the baggage, because I think it's a constant thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I don't think you're going to really find in this world, where people are not dealing with something. Because we're always suggesting
really
something.
Life, everyone has something.
Right. So once you sit there and do what you do, it's like if they can commit to you and work things and you have a great time, and like you said, the communication is mutual.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's what's something you do. I got this thing about vacation time for you. Is what I got. I'm taking just months with nothing,
mm-hmm.
but working with yourself still. There was one book, actually there's several books I could give you, but I'm just saying the book that I looked at the most, there was two of them. But the one that most really pushed a lot is it's by a guy named John Randolph Price. It's called Super Beings. And it talks about how to rise above all this to get what you want and not to feel what you can't, because actually you were given dominion over the world in the first place. And it's just the idea of finding your way back to that whole thing and realizing that a lot of things you've tried to in the past can be a thing of the past, and just start focusing. Because I've worked with several people that they tell me in detail what they don't like. And they can't understand why they keep attracting it when that's what they're focusing on the most. They give what they want a couple of seconds, but they don't give it the full attention. That's what you
mm-hmm.
need to do. And that's what I'm saying here. I'm talking about sitting down and getting very detailed about exactly what do you want. Like this, I'll give you an example. I wrote in my journal that I wanted this girl, and at first I said blonde, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, no, I want a natural brunette. I like brunettes. I like people who are natural. Because I'm a
mm-hmm.
person of spiritual and
mm-hmm.
very grounded, Taurus, so I like natural, you know.
Mm.
And it was kind of funny when I met this girl that at one time she was a blonde, and then she went natural.
Oh.
So you see the thing. So
mm-hmm.
these manifestations happen. It's just that we have to sit there and pay attention to what's going on. Even with the situation, that maybe in some sense of the word, just be detailed.
Mm-hmm.
I just was so detailed about everything, and I've sit there and told people, if I could just sit there and videotape some of the things that have gone on in my life to help people realize exactly what you can create and what you can attract to and what you got to do, and it's all about you,
mm-hmm.
and that you are the one that is creating your reality, creating your world. It's just you. And we consider a little bit the co-creation of saying, okay, this is what I want, and then, you know, God and the angels and everyone are all working together as one, but
mm-hmm.
you still are the base of that whole thing. If you don't make your mind up and if you don't sit there and say exactly what you want, then it don't happen.
Right.
They have nothing, and the angels and God have nothing to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have this thing, free will. So if you're going to sit there and ignore a whole thing, that's your will to do so. But I'm just saying, interaction here seems like a really good thing, and I think you're on a good thing. The first thing that came to me was, make sure that you tell yourself, there is no track record. You have no track record. You are who you are right at this moment, right this minute. And if you could learn, and I'm not saying you haven't, I feel like you have. I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
make it a constant where you live the moment it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And stop thinking about anything else, because realistically none of that exists anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's gone. It's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. But tomorrow it was wide open, and what are you going to do with it? Because
right.
you definitely don't like what you created in the past.
Yeah.
And right now what's going on in your life is still residue from what you used to think. And you're clearing that out. So you're still going to have some of those things happening to you. It's just the idea of clarifying it with affirmations and making sure, like you said, the book, the journal, that kind of thing, and clarifying those things. So tomorrow, it just constantly keeps clearing all that old out.
Right.
And you're going to get to the point where you're going to be at. Because realistically, with the situation of talking about anything or even bringing up the ideal track record, the idea of being in a relationship right now, you're not ready for. But I feel like if you keep constantly working where you're going to be at, by October's end, then I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes in your life exactly what you want.
But you also call myself not a repeat offender. I have no problem walking away. And that sometimes isn't a good thing, you know, either. Like,
no,
I have no problem not looking back. I might walk away from a good thing.
Yeah, because we're trying to stress right now that we're trying to find something that's going to last forever. So the
exactly.
idea of preparing yourself to walk away to set yourself up for a situation just like that where you'll be walking away, and you don't want that.
No.
So what
and
you want to do, I'm just saying, sit down and do the journal thing and clear everything out and get going. Because I feel like that things can definitely turn around. And it's up to you. I mean, when I got that book, The Super Beings, by John Randolph Price, realistically, my life changed in 3 or 4 days. Especially, one thing I worked with most was income. But also the situation, relationships, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like I said before, we have to sit back and we got to get back to feeling again, because there's so much technology out there right now that we're letting everything else do it for us, which is
right.
not good. We have to get back to that thing of going, okay, what do you feel? Because like I said before, you know, I work with a lot of pictures and stuff, and it's like getting back to the root of the thing of seeing a picture of somebody and going, what do you feel? What do you see when you see that? If you're still looking at them, for instance, I look at this picture of my ex, and I can't even look at her and say ex. I just look at her and say Ruth. But also in the same sense, with people looking at pictures too, say you look at some pictures from the past and you feel disgusted or you still hate that person or you're something about that thing. There are still unresolved issues that you
Absolutely.
Need to deal with. That's what I'm saying. You've got to deal with that. Even you don't want to sit there and go, well, but I dealt with it. I've done that too, where you say, well, okay, I dealt with that. And all of a sudden you feel that the feeling comes up again. So you're like, oh, I guess I got it. Just to me, being honest with yourself, to take a step back and go, I need to look at that again. Because I guess I haven't, because it's still coming to the surface. So therefore, there's still some suppressed feelings there. So that's what I'm saying before, the idea of forgiving and letting go of all those people. But is there any kind of issues that you still need to look at those things? Because, like I said before, the first thing that came up was you have no track record to let that go. But also to sit down and do a forgiveness ritual, which is basically writing down all the names of people that you think you need to forgive and going over it again and doing that again. And it's a constant thing where if you catch yourself 2 weeks from now, if you've done one of those things and you still have certain people's names pop in your head,
I did that before I left Boston. I'm Wiccan, so I have no problem acceptance with anything, and facing my fears, you know, and lighting a candle and saying a little something, and what I do a lot too is I write on stones, and once I write that down, I'll toss it in the ocean. And I never think about it again, because once I think about it again, it comes right back.
I like that. That's good.
And I do a lot of, and I'll write down, I'll take bay leaves, and I'll write it down on bay leaves 3, and I'll burn them.
People don't realize that. There's a lot of power in writing and speaking. And I was sitting there talking to my mom before, when people talk about, sometimes people don't like to talk about the Bible, but if you look at the Bible, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically saying the same thing we were saying before here, too. What you speak and what you think basically manifests the life that you have. Yeah. So that's been going on for thousands of years, and probably before that even more, you know. So just try to take some of those techniques and say, okay. It's like the rock thing where you just write on the rock. Because I used to do the thing with a piece of paper, write everything on a piece of paper, and then throw it away or burn it.
Right. I burn it safely, obviously, in aluminum foil. And with the ashes, I'll take them, and I live across the street from, like, beautiful forest, and I'll bury it. I'll take the aluminum foil back, obviously, because you don't want to leave trash in the woods. It's not good.
Well, like I said before, I just get the impression that you just keep working with your things, and also realize that you're not Wiccan. It's something you do, because
Well, right. Well, it's certain things that I... it's certain things that I try to practice. It's, you know what, it's a no harm thing too. It's you know, it is something that there's certain guidelines that people follow, and it's actually we help each other. I'm solitary actually, you know, and I am who I am. You're right. So because I'm solitary. So I am who I am, and I write out, like you said, writing is great, and I write all my own things, and I'm a poet, and I'm a Pisces, actually, so I'm very creative. I'm on the cusp of Aquarius.
So. Pisces. Yeah. No, I was just thinking, the girl I was talking about, Ruth, she's a Pisces, too.
Yeah, a little hot-headed. Feisty, I should say. You know, and was she? Is she, I should say. Yeah, so I mean, and I'm by the water all the time, you know, and so I do a lot of stuff at the water, you know, and there's a lot of energy at the water, you know, and.
Yeah, but what I was saying was, it's like with her, she's a wonderful, creative person. I mean, just who she is just intense. And I think sometimes I get irritated with a lot of people around her who keep telling her that she's has a lot to learn and that kind of stuff. And it's like, of course, we all do, but that's. And it's like a guy looking at you and going, you'll never find anybody like me. Of course you won't. We're all individuals. We're all different.
That's
right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But he's using it to manipulate you.
Exactly.
So what I try to do, me personally, I try to teach. I was with her. She was a great painter. And I just felt like there was so much within her. But there was people around her saying, you know, we have a tendency that we want to express ourselves, but there's so many people around us that we want to impress, or we don't want to lose just at the moment. I think I was trying to tell the last lady, we have a tendency to hang on, not realizing that some of our friends and stuff are actually part of our past in the process of being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And those things can be fearful, because I think when we do meet the right person, we're going to realize that there are going to be people that are no longer going to be a part of our lives. And some people are just not willing to give that up.
But that's okay, because you learn from them. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm. I'm just being able to say, it's like looking at a friend of mine, looking at her and saying, she's like, well, my friends are important. So am I, but there's some friends I haven't seen in 10 years. Does it make it any less that they're friends of mine? It's just our paths haven't crossed. So sit there and try to manipulate things to happen and say, okay, I got to see this friend, or this person will no longer be a friend. Like I told the last lady, if you're going to sit there and start calling people because you're fearful, and if you don't, then you're calling those people for the wrong reason. It's your own insecurities playing themselves out. But if you're really concerned, or you really want to know what that person is doing, that kind of stuff, and those kind of things, then sure enough, call them. That's what
being concerned and being fearful are two totally different things.
Exactly. So I want to sit there and portray things in a positive way with no fear.
Right.
So that was what I was saying with her. She was a very creative person, very nice. I mean, just the person that I got to know, you just felt like that there was so much more. And it was so intense. And when I sit there and focus on the situation with your life and what you're going to be about, what's coming up for you, I get the same intensity with you, the person you're going to meet. And it's one of those things that sometimes people don't understand with readings, that we consider and say you're going to meet people. But if you don't do the work, it might not happen. So don't go blame the psychic. Kind of like sit back and say, okay, did I really focus, like if there was an issue or a certain thing that I saw coming up every time but I didn't really deal with it? That could have been the one thing that hindered you from actually meeting that person.
Absolutely.
So if you realize that and notice it, it means you can still work on it, and there's still a chance of meeting that person. It's just the idea of delays. But I keep getting October, end of October for you. I get a fall.
And you know what? That's his birth. That guy that I had just met, his birthday is in October. So and he's a Libra, and that's what. And I kept saying I want a man that's the same sign as my son. That's my son's a Libra.
I just want people to understand that we have this thing about childishness, and some people think that when you get carried away, for example, she got carried away because she lives in England and she started calling me. Well, she rang up a big phone bill. Well, I asked her about it. Was it worth it? And she's like, and she felt like she had to tell me an answer, like, no, it wasn't worth it. No, that's not, I'm not asking what the world would tell you. I'm saying, how did you feel? Because realistically, you must have thought it was worth it, or you wouldn't have done it.
Absolutely.
So you have to look at those. It's just like looking at people going, your feelings and your heart said you needed to do that. You really wanted to reach out. You really wanted to talk and communicate. And a lot of things happen in the process of doing that. Sure, there's a big phone bill, but those are situations. I think it points out the other situations in our lives that once you pay that phone bill off, it's no longer a problem. And also with the same situation, it's like manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to manifest more into your life, it's so easy to forget that bill once it's paid. How come we can't do that with everything else when a relationship's over to look at those situations? And we know for a fact it is. That's the point.
Yeah.
It could be simply as paying that bill off to say, okay, it's over. But also in the same sense of the word, to look at what conspired in the situation, it might tell you too the same thing. It's not over, and maybe the reason you're not with somebody is because you're not being honest with yourself and how you really feel. It's not the other person. It's I'm just saying there's some things you need to sit here and really look at too and clear out for yourself in the future as well. So try those. You have a lot of time.
That when you're talking about October, and this guy's divorce is final in October.
I'm just saying with the situation, what you need to do with the situation is you need to focus. Say, okay, I'm focusing on the kind of relationship that I want to have, that I think I deserve. Put it out to the universe and see what happens. Okay, if this guy is not the one, then there will be somebody who presents themselves who will be, as I put it, no attachment.
Mm-hmm.
To me,
so I always put everything like that, and I end up with shit.
Well, what I'm saying is, don't change what you've been doing to clear out all this stuff, because I still see that by doing those things, you're going to get what you want. I've had situations where I had a fiance, I wrote my journal every freaking day, we got back together, and then the following year, we had a situation where we broke up again, and I did the exact same writing in my journal and everything else like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen the way it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to make a choice to go the other direction. But see, I'm not giving up on those things because it just proved
that's
to me
pretty
that
wise.
She is.
You can't. Mm-hmm.
Right, and she just wasn't who she was. That's what it's pointing out. We have to go through the same techniques. I went through the same techniques and started realizing we did have past lives together, but they were past lives to point out we wasn't supposed to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So it got me to look at the full picture of what that was all about. But it also pointed out to me that those techniques were also going to get me and open up the possibilities of the person who would be coming into my life. I just had to keep going. And like something came to me, I might have to go through a lot of weeds to get to the flower, but I'm not going to give up.
No, and timing's everything too, I believe.
Well, timing's everything, but you also have to realize one thing. If you have dominion over this planet, you have it over time as well because it's part of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the ideal. That's what I was saying before. If you get the book Super Beings, to read that book, to point out to you that...
Oh, I'm going to. I already wrote that down.
You have total control.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people sit and say, you know, we can't control all the internet. Oh, shut up.
Oh, yeah. The law of attraction is unbelievable.
Yes.
It really is.
It does exist. It's all there, so we have to sit and go over the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go with some other callers, but it was really nice talking to you.
And you too. Thank you very much.
Those things. And please give us a call back and give us an update on the whole thing. Okay?
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great night.
And you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. And let's go on to our next call. And like I said before, I do private readings, so give me a call. Area code 740. 601-1057, or you can call me on my private number, which is 740-500-8863, or get contact me through my website, which is, I think it's www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, and if you want to, it's actually on my show page, so go to the show page and check it out, and I think there's actually a link that you can actually go right there, so check it out. I always tell people you can go there and check out the prices and that kind of stuff, but give me a call. Make me an offer because those prices are just a place to start, okay? And let's go on to our next caller and see what's up. Area code 786, you're on the air. Welcome, and what's your name? And she fell asleep. Hello? Area code 786, you're on the air. Welcome. Hello. Okay. Hello, 786, area code, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Can you hear me? All right, let's go into area code 510, you're on the air. Welcome, what's your name? Hello? Hello? Area code 510, welcome. Welcome to the show. Okay, let's go to the next person. Get somebody on here. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, it's Salsa 1610.
Yay! See, they were all waiting for me. They were waiting
What's
for
that?
Me. They were all waiting for me to come on.
Is that what it is?
That's what it was. This was
okay,
meant to
okay.
be.
Okay, okay. Well, it's kind of funny, you know. I was sitting there telling people to watch the signs. I was telling my friend, and it's kind of funny today that I was going to go on Keen and get a reading about the situation with the relationship I'm in about a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like really, really missing a lot, you know. And she doesn't really want to. I don't know what it is. She doesn't want to. I don't. She's just. Some people get into those things where it's like. They have to cut everything off. And I always think that's a sign to somebody. You know, do you really have it? And I said, there must be something really there. That must be some really deep feelings for a person to go to that extremes to prove it's not.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? You know, why would you go to those extremes to prove something doesn't exist? So I try to get a reading today. So I went on Keen and I tell people, watch the signs. Listen to your angel. They communicate in all kinds of ways. I went to eight advisors on Keen.
Wow.
And every time I would go to these people, they would come up as unavailable. In the middle of the phone call, they would come up as unavailable. I'm sitting there going, okay, that's good enough for me. Just leave it alone. So, you know. So I was like, it's freaking me out here. And I talked to my friend, and she's like, that's a pretty good sign right there. And then I got another email from a person who said he just got picked up by another radio station where he's going to be between 10,000 to 50,000 people listening.
Wow.
And he wanted to know, and he contacted me, and he was going to be doing it in Colorado, which is where I want to go. And my friend was like, there's a sign. So I was like, really? And I said, the guy's also got a radio show, and he's contacted me and said, you can be on my show, or you could send me a CD or a commercial and stuff, and it won't cost you nothing. Just send it to me. I'll get it to my producers. We'll put it on there for you. And if you want to come on the show, it might cost you $25 for some kind of fee or something, but that's all it is. I'm like, a lot of things happen in a day. So,
how about that?
So, well, we're trying to look at all the things and say, okay, what do we see here? That's what I was trying to say when we first started doing the show when it comes to relationships, because it seemed like the relationships are most important things to us. And really, a lot of people are like that, where when the relationship works, everything else seems to work. And the reason it is because, realistically, everything in our life is a relationship.
Right.
When we go to work, that's a relationship. When we deal with our bosses, our friends, and that kind of stuff, or how we even deal with wanting to be there, or should we even be focusing on creating our own business or something? You know, there's always a constant communication, even if it's indirectly through visuals, you know.
Absolutely.
So with your situation, I'm sorry, but
That's okay. That's what I'm here for. I'm calling because my life is extremely, extremely complicated at the moment. And I wanted to see what you could tell me about any of it.
Okay. Let's like, you know, just separate the whole thing because of the complication.
Yes.
So we can actually, what's the most important thing to you to start? And we'll start there.
Well, to start with, I have a mom who's dying. who's in a coma in another town, another state.
Right.
And my daughter and I have been cut off by my siblings, out of control, out of greed, and out of pure meanness and evil. They've gone against her wishes to keep her alive in the manner that she signed for, in a DNR and a living will. They overwrote documents, and so things are horrific. And so things are pretty horrible for her and for us, because we can't support her in any way other than prayer. So it makes it extremely difficult for us. So, you know, I don't know what you can tell me about that whole situation. And then because of all this chaos, it's made my decisions in regards to school and what I'm going to do if I graduate this year from school, if I'm going to continue, what direction to take it in, what I need to do, just everything kind of very chaotic. Money is chaotic. Our lives are chaotic, and I just, you know, need some kind of whatever you can give me.
Okay. No, I was just looking at the situation and going, okay, there's some crazy stuff there.
Yeah.
When it comes to siblings and that kind of thing, the impression I get on that whole thing is just they are who they are. Just in the situation of, I guess you would sit here and say, in the sense of selfishness, they're just really showing their true colors and in favor of what you're trying to do with your own life. The distancing and not wanting to deal with you or be with you or being around you, that kind of stuff, like looking at it as a blessing.
It is in a way, but it's very, very hurtful because last year I took 5 months out of my life to basically save both of my parents' lives. Now, I knew when I left there somehow last year, and I made a statement to a couple of people that I knew that that was the last time I was going to see my parents well enough to be independent. And it didn't even take 10 months. And it manifested into worse than my worst nightmare. And I'm just horrified beyond belief because there was nothing I could do to save her. And even today, you know, she's made to be alive. And I can't release her physically from this world, you know. It's a very horrible situation. They've cut off her legs. They've put a permanent trach, taken away her voice when she was the voice for so many people. They're anticipating cutting off 1.5 arms. You know, how do you dismember your own mother? It's beyond me, and call that living, and thinking that somebody should thank you for that.
What would you like to do?
I would like her to leave this world and release herself from this suffering. She was a great community person. She was everybody and anybody. She knows not the best mom, but she was a good person in that respect and had a lot of places in her heart for people. She received 15 years ago the Thomas Jefferson Award for 40 years of community service from the president. It's an extreme honor. To end your life in this manner is just horrible.
So with the situation, I mean, have you actually sit down and prayed for her to leave?
Yes. Yes. I went there in the middle of the night. It cost me $800, took my daughter. She was in and out of consciousness, but she was alert when I saw her because she responded and gave her permission to leave this world. I understand she just recently learned that she has no legs. and his horse. I don't think now that she'll leave this month because my dad is a severe Alzheimer's. Their anniversary would have been this one, and I don't think she would put him through that kind of misery. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every day is a hardship for me to think about that she's having to live like that.
Right. No, it's just one of those things, they're looking at situations and going, okay, what's the best, you know, we talked about before. I have a tendency to go on about certain things, about the girl I was with and that kind of stuff, but it's one of those things of giving people an ideal out there that we do a radio show, but we're also human as well, and we do the whole thing, and sometimes that's even a catchy phrase. We really want to use the word human anymore. And rise above the situation and go, okay, what's the best interest of here? You know, it's, like I was asking you before about saying a prayer for your mom to move on. And that was the very first impression that came to me when you were talking that needed to be done, where it was just the ideal wherever you were at, you know, it's the ideal of talking to your mother all the time.
I never thought in this lifetime that I would pray for my mother to die, but that's what I pray for her. God to take her out of this world.
See, the thing I think I really get irritated with this world is because we put so much emphasis on death as something bad. When it's actually nothing but, if you do tarot cards and reading with angel cards, you'll find out that death is transition. So therefore, for her to transition, she's like in certain things that are not going on for that transition to happen.
Well, it's very hard because even though, yes, I know that in the reality, and I've spoken to spirits, in the past myself, ever since I was 5. But to know that I will never see her in the physical world again, and how my daughter will never be able to see her, is traumatic for us. And knowing that they've also blocked off my dad is, you know, it's very traumatic. It's very hard. And I don't want her staying in this world, not for us, not for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff, and she needs to move forward. And I understand that. And every day that she doesn't, it pains me.
Well, I guess another call is on the line, but too many people pop in. It's crazy at midnight. Anyway, when I was staying with you, the thing I get the most focusing on all these situations and chaos and that kind of stuff, to actually minimize the chaos is to keep working more on yourself. So sometimes I'm just saying with the situations, we have to sort of look at things and go, okay, I'm focusing on having a happy life. And in the process of doing that, there are certain things that are going to have to be X'd out in favor of that. And I just feel like meditation right now and some of the things that are going on in your life, taking at least an hour for yourself each morning.
Okay.
Well, I know all this stuff is going on and it's something that you really need to talk about. But at the same time, in the process of talking about it, you're kind of like reaffirming it. And I think there's some things that you can... I think there's some things you really know you need to do for yourself. And I just feel like you need to take the time to do those things. Your mom and everything, and I just keep getting this really strong impression that a lot of things are going to start falling into place here really soon with certain things, and I feel like that the things you've been hoping for your mom to do is going to happen here really soon as well.
Do you think it'll be this month or the next? I've heard, probably this month, but I'm thinking next month.
I get October. I get the middle of October.
Yeah, that's what the end of October?
Well, actually, it could be anywhere between the 15th and 30th.
Yeah. I think that she's going to pass on my sister's birthday because she's the one who beat her.
I get the impression that when she passes, the picture that I see with her passing is it may be on the birthday. Is her birthday the 15th?
No, my sister's birthday is the 27th of October, and she's the one who beat her up 2 years ago and started the whole process of the beginning of the end.
Well, the problem with the situation could, like, you'd be in the 15th, around that 15th and on. So it's definitely going to, I would get the impression, it's definitely not going to happen the first part of October.
Right.
But once,
yeah, I'm thinking the end.
Right. But the thing I get the most is once that happens, then everything else seems that you're having problems with, this kind of thing, seem to fall in place. But the picture I also saw was, I saw her passing, and I saw you in bed. And I see her sitting at the bed. I see her sitting at the end of your bed. So I'm not sure if it'll happen just like that, but I do feel like she will visit you before she leaves.
Yeah, I hope so. I feel that she's going to die from something in her head.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to have, like, an aneurysm, or the infection that she has is going to block off blood supply.
Well, I'm just saying, look, I feel like you should also make peace with her. And,
yes, I'm just a little angry with her for allowing this to happen, because it didn't have to be this way. And it makes me angry because there's a lot of elder abuse out there.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thinks that it can't happen to them or it won't happen to them.
Oh, I understand.
Until it does. And it just, you know, I'm in the health field and it just breaks my heart to know that in my own family it occurred. And I couldn't
think
about it.
Right. I'm just saying, the impression I get is you need to let that go to see that it's just not that important anymore. And I feel like
I'm
just saying the passing could happen quicker.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I feel like she's staying here. I feel like she's staying here because she has this unresolved situation. And
yes.
It's almost like she wants your forgiveness.
Yeah, I let her know that I forgive her. You know, I am angry, but I forgive her because she's my mother, and I do love her. You know, there's a lot of bad blood between us because things in my life that have happened that she allowed to happen and caused me to be abused throughout my younger days. And as she became older and I saw the abuse occurring with her, I tried to stop as much of it as possible in spite of everything because she's still my mother. And I still love her. And I don't want anyone to be abused. I went into the health field to avoid that. I've switched my major from nursing to public health to advocacy and policy, because it should be policy that no one should ever be abused at all. To abuse somebody when they are in an unconscious state because they trusted you before they went into that state, to me, is the epitome of abuse of somebody. And so that's why it rings a little more. It's not just so much I can't get over it, but it, you know, it makes me, propels me further into doing why I changed my field and why I want to do public policy, because I saw things changing. And it's very common in this society. We abuse people who we can get power for our own benefit. Not everybody, but it happens more times than not, and it's horrific. But I know you have other callers, and I don't want to take all of your time. And,
no problem. I'm just saying, give us a call back and give us an update on the whole situation.
I will. Thank you so much.
I'm just saying, that anger, just look at, like I was talking about the last caller, I was sitting there saying, she was talking about this, she has this track record, and I'm like, forget you have anything, because at this moment, it's just this moment. So all that doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. Yeah. So just try to put it in that perspective and realize what's more important here is how she leaves. So therefore, work on that, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I hope you get to Colorado.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go on to our next caller and... let's see here. Area code 561. How are you tonight? Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hello, this is Lisa.
Lisa. You've been on before, haven't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Lisa, how can we help you tonight?
Well, I had a little accident last week. I fell down the steps and broke my leg. And, wanted to see what you felt about this situation. I had planned on looking for a new job, but So now it looks like this is going to be delayed a little bit.
Okay, Lisa, let me ask you a question. When's your birthday?
March 7th, 1962.
So you fell down the stairs and broke your leg?
Yeah, I just moved into this place on the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the 5th, I think, and then the 7th, I was walking
right
down the steps and broke my mm-hmm. leg and realized after I fell that the light at the top of the steps was out. One of the residents told me that. I didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm. So with the situation, did it reflect anything in your life?
Yeah, I know. I was in a hurry, and I wanted to get my place in order, but
mm-hmm.
now I'm totally frustrated because I have all these boxes around me that I just don't have the energy to unpack them. And the woman that I take care of, she won't have anybody else to her house but me. So today I went back to her because I can't afford. The doctor wanted me to take off and not work, but financially I can't do that. I have no other means of support.
All right. I'm just saying, with the situation, is like you should have slowed down in the first place. But, you know, it's one of those things, a reflection on that whole thing. The thing I keep thinking the most is the idea of trying to find a way to make all these things work in your favor. And can you do it? I think you can. You know you can. It's just that...
Well, the woman I take care of, I mean, I don't know too many jobs where you can really make money while you have a broken leg. Just not. I'm lucky enough that I just go there and pretty much talk to her and I get paid for it, so... I know
mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky, and she's lucky, you know what I mean? We're lucky to have each other. Because I pretty much
definitely.
Make my own hours, so I can make as much money as I want, which
definitely
is really
a win-win
great.
Situation,
huh?
It's definitely a win-win situation with her.
Yeah, I mean, she's happy with my, you know, company, and I'm happy making the money. So it's like, plus I love the freedom and the flexibility it gives me working, because I don't like to be, you know, tied to a desk. And
right.
This gives me freedom, but I don't think I
right.
want to do this for much longer. I just feel really bored. But I know I have to go through this healing process first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's probably going to be a few months. I'll be able to look for, even consider looking for another job.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel so tied to her. Almost like, you know, she's like part of my family, and I almost feel guilty about leaving her because I think her family's going to put her in a nursing home if I leave her.
Right.
But I have to, I just feel like, you know, I need to grow.
Well, you're right. You're not really responsible for anybody but yourself, and these other things we do for other people is because we want to do those things. But you are,
I mean,
you're right. I mean, the reflection
situation.
Is slow down. It puts you in a situation where you can think about what you really want to do with your life, and it seems like you're coming to a conclusion on some things that you just need to follow through with, and now you're frustrated because your leg's broken and you really can't follow through with those things, but like you said before, you will. So what you need to do is find a way to make what's going on now, I guess, more happy and more creative for you, to find out more things about yourself.
Well, I really feel bad that, you know, time will come where I have to leave her. But I have a feeling, because she's got very greedy kids. They don't live here. They live in another state. And I know they want to do something with her, put her in somewhere, a nursing home, assisted living. And I told her daughter today, I said, you know, even if you put her somewhere, I will still go and, you know, keep an eye on her. So I think
mm-hmm.
the daughter was shocked that I said that. But, you know, I always, I told her that, you know, we have a very strong bond. And I will always stay in her life while she's still living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her kids really are not really that nice to me. I have no idea why. I've never done anything to those people. They're kind of
into that. It's one of those things of realizing that the way people are is just the way they are.
Yeah, I know. They're just very strange. Actually, she's strange, too. I think she's got some dementia or something going on. She doesn't even sometimes open the door for me. I just...
Right.
You know, but I know she knows that I look out for her. And she, and I know she appreciates it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, what do you... Do you think they're going to put her in a nursing home? I mean, I just...
Well, what can I take up with the situation? I really feel like they're going to do what they think is best for themselves. And I just don't feel like the way things are working out, I don't think she's... I just don't think they're going to do anything that's really good for her.
No.
But I also get the impression there's nothing you can do about that.
Oh, I know that. I know. Believe me, I know. Like I said, they're not very nice to me. The one daughter is decent, but the rest of them, they're just very strange. I mean, you think that they would piss in the ground that walk on. I'm saving them so much money anyway, because if you would have put her in a nursing home, it'd be $7,000-$10,000 a month. But then sometimes they withhold my pay. I mean, I just do really mean things, and, you know, I can't figure it out. I'm like, my gosh, I would be so devoted to somebody who was taking care of my mother.
Oh, yeah, some of us, you know, the rest of us are like that, but you got to look at the situation of, I don't know, the way they're raised. You keep getting a lot of things here where it's more about insecurity and money's more important than human beings.
All like that. They're all money hungry. Everything. They don't even like when the mother, you know, they don't even like me to eat there. That's how they begrudge food. They're disgusting.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't brought up that way. When my mother, we didn't have a lot of money as kids either, but no matter who my mother had at her house, she always fed them and never begrudged it. Never. But these people are so strange. I mean, so you think they're going to put her in a nursing home and then before I leave, I get a job? Or you think after I get a job, they're going to decide over?
I do believe that it'll be after.
Because they won't be able to find anyone to replace me? Is that it?
No, you sit here and tell me before that she doesn't want anybody else there but you.
No, she doesn't. So I'm just thinking, I mean, I'm not going to be able to work two full-time jobs.
I'm just saying, you're trying to.
What did you say? I'm going to try to work two jobs?
No. I said you're focusing on, you're trying to accomplish your own goals, but you're also trying to protect the lady from going to the nursing home and it's one of those things you got to make a choice. You can keep doing this, but you know, it's like you think you're also putting a hole in your own life. What's going
to
happen?
It's really
to
not
her?
Because I'm pursuing my school, and you know, this could always work around my school too.
I know, but what I'm saying is, you're making all these plans on keeping this situation in position as you got going on with her. Because you're scared of what might happen to her.
Yeah, because I know the way her kids are. They're just only out for themselves. They don't really care about their mother. I don't know how they grew up. I don't know if she was a bad mother or they had bad parents. I don't know what.
I'm just saying, I feel like that they're going to put her in nursing home after you leave. But if you continue to stay there, they're eventually going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, I just don't want to be out of a job. You know what I mean? I would rather leave them than them come and tell me, look, we're putting her in a nursing home. You're out of a job.
Yeah, but it ain't going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I figured out because they're not ready to make any kind of move, at least for another year or two.
Well, yeah, at least. So you're good with that. I'm just saying in the process of that whole thing, you should continue what you're doing with your own life. So therefore, it's a transition, not something that just drops out. I just feel.
I mean, I told her daughter today that even if she put her someplace, I would still continue to go check up on her and stuff, and even if I was working somewhere else. But I think her daughter was shocked that I even said that. But I know something's up with these people, but I know they're not telling me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're a better daughter than the one she had.
What?
I said you're like a better daughter than the one she actually had.
Oh, I know. She's got some really lousy daughters, especially the oldest. She's a wicked witch. God.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand her, and she's supposed to be coming down next month, and I'm not looking forward to that at all. I don't like her one bit. She's nasty. She's negative. She's mean to her mother. She belittles her mother. I mean, I get sick when she walks in her house. I don't like her one bit. And she's bad-mouthed me, I know, to the rest of the kids.
Energy,
you know, yeah. Made up lies. You know what I mean? She's just really a bad person.
Right.
You know, I treat her mother. Her mother would rather be in me than her. I think she's jealous of that.
Right.
You know, I just...
Some people are jealous. Never
very jealous. I mean, I think you think that they think that the mother's giving me money or something.
I would sit here and say that they feel like you're getting something more.
No, yeah, because they don't think that somebody, you know what I mean? Because they're bad. They think that
they're
so greedy with money. They probably think there's something else in it for me that I'm.
Oh yeah.
I don't take anything from her. I mean, she's given me money twice, but I didn't even want to take it, but she insisted. And
okay. No, I'm just saying with the situation you got going on, no matter which, it doesn't matter which direction you go into, you choose to leave or whatever, you know. With the situation she's in and that kind of stuff, you don't see things changing, how they're going to unfold. So,
I mean, do you think after I get another job that I'll still be in contact with her and I'd still see her and stuff?
I get the impression after they get what they want, it doesn't matter. You'll still have contact with her after the whole situation's over. It's all about money.
Do you think she has a lot of money?
Yeah, I do.
Wow. You wouldn't think it because, you know, they begrudge me to eat food at her house. It's disgusting. I've never seen anything like
that.
I mean, I wasn't brought up that. I was Italian and we share with everybody, but these people, yeah, so greedy. I mean, Do you think she's got dementia, mental wrong with her? Because some days, she don't even open the door for me. I mean, I'm like, sometimes I feel like walking away, like, I don't need this crap. I'm tired of this senile old lady.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I do. I feel like there's something really going on there, too, yeah.
She's got something wrong. When I got hurt, she wanted me to go live with her. I would never do that. You think
really?
She's got dementia or she's got a mental problem? Or?
I get dementia.
I mean, do you think they're going to keep her local in Florida?
They're going to keep her local in Florida?
They're going to keep her local where she lives now, or do you think they're going to move her back up to where they live?
I get up to where they're at.
Where they live?
That's what I keep getting.
Well, I never thought they would move her out of state because she hates the cold. I mean, this woman, she doesn't want to be taken out of her house. I don't know how they're going to take her out of that house. You think it's going to be a bad or something?
Oh, it's going to freak out, yeah.
Who's going to freak out?
She's going to freak out. The reason she likes staying in the house is because it's familiar to her. Because of her condition and stuff, so therefore she has to move her surrounding to take care of the whole thing. I don't give her that long where she would pass on anyway.
Yeah, I mean, her kids could really take her in, but none of them want to be bothered with her.
Oh, I know. It's one of those things, you know.
It's very cruel. Yeah. I mean, I don't.
How much, yeah.
You don't, do you think her kids like me or they don't like me or they think this?
Well, those people don't like anybody, so it doesn't really matter.
They don't like anybody, no. I know they're weirdos. I mean, and how do you think the lady feels about me?
The situation with the lady, it seems like there's, maybe because of her condition and stuff, but she's, you know, I get the impression she thinks very highly of you, but there's other days where she doesn't know who you are.
Yeah, I know. She almost thinks like I'm her daughter. She tells me things that her daughters have said and that I've said. I mean, she gets this all mixed up. I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes I'm just afraid that she might accuse me of stealing things. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, really see that one happening, but I understand what you're saying. But,
yeah, I mean, they do that. I mean, I know she wouldn't do it on purpose, but
she
accuses her own kids of things, so why wouldn't she accuse me?
Because her kids act a certain way. It's kind of, I mean, I'm just saying, I give you the impression, that's the impression I got. So I just didn't get, well, the issue with you, but everybody else would be.
I mean, when do you think this is going to end my relationship with her?
Let me answer this one question. I got to go on to some of the callers, but I feel like I still feel like you're going to be there for another year.
Another year I'm going to be there? Wow.
Yeah, I do feel like that. It could change. It's one of those things, you know. It's not, you know, it's not like something you can't change and go, okay, I got to.
Well, maybe I get
do.
Another job and still do work with her on the weekends or something. I mean,
right.
She's really starting to get to me. I mean,
I'm just
starting to make me batty taking care of her.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part, she doesn't like to go out. I mean, if she liked to go out, it would make my job all eat, but now I can't. I'm housebound with a broken leg, so
right.
We're stuck for each other for the next 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I just all right. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, and you have a great night. And please call us back and give us an update on everything's going. Okay. Let's go on to our next caller. Area code 317. Welcome to the show and. What's your name?
Hi, how are you? My name's Penny.
Your name is what?
Penny. Can you hear me?
Penny. Yeah, I can hear you. It was just, for some reason, I didn't hear the P part. I just heard, I thought it was a T. So.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's Penny. Where are you calling from, Penny?
Indiana.
Indiana. So how can we help you tonight?
I was just calling to see if, anything with love, relationship.
That situation with love. Right now, there's nobody in your life, right?
Right. Yeah, there's nobody. Yeah.
Okay. Have you been working a lot? It seems like you've been thinking a lot. That's the one thing I get the most. But the one thing I was picking up too was the idea of. Almost like we've been getting a lot of people, you know, it's just the idea of letting go of the past. It seems like there's some things you're still focusing and hanging on to.
Well, there is two people that are in my past that are still around.
Well, like I told, I was telling another person, I was hearing saying it's called a forgiveness release move. And what it is just you write a list down of all the people you think you should forgive. And I always tell people, sit down and just let your mind, open your mind, the possibilities that you might, and I've always seen people who do that, have a tendency to think of people that they've probably never thought about in a long time, and it's just one of those things about forgiving people. The forgiveness
right.
is forgiveness is for you to let go, so therefore you can move on. And it's kind of crazy how I've seen people do that, and they do those relationships, and then they meet somebody. So there's definitely a connection there, but it's also, you get the impression of letting go and also clarifying exactly what you want.
Okay.
Would you say that in some ways, because of what you're hanging on to, you're scared that you won't get what you want?
Okay.
So you need to let go and say, okay, whatever presents itself is for my best interest, or it would be presenting itself in the first place.
Right.
A lot of us need to do that, but that's the one thing I get with you. You take that situation and, you know, you try to put yourself in a position where everything that happens from this moment, all the past, doesn't exist. But you shouldn't let it affect, because, I mean, it's like you're asking yourself, how many times have you said certain things that still affect you, or a certain person that still you don't understand, or they might have done something to you that just didn't make any sense. But in the process of focusing on those things, you're keeping yourself from moving on. So the idea of what you really want to have is a really good relationship. Those
right.
So it's just the idea of letting go. And, you know, I always tell people the simple thing about letting go is just listen to the words. Let go. The one thing I look at the most is the breathing technique I do myself. Is just, I know I need to let go, and I just take a deep breath, and as I'm exhaling, I just try to get as relaxed as possible to go, because the process of hanging on to things, they do have a tendency to stress us out. So we're not relaxed. And the more relaxed you are, the more you feel things, like you're letting things go. So I would really recommend you do those in the morning.
Okay.
You can throw any kind of chakra, you know, get some information on chakras and do some chakra clearings too, because in the process of a lot of the things you're hanging on to, the solar plexus is one of those things that need to be cleansed. That is your third chakra from if you look at the chakras from your root chakras, which is at the base of your spine, upwards, it would be the third one, the sacred chakra, right around your ovaries.
Okay.
I'm just saying, with the situation, that's the biggest thing I get with you, is just let go. And then start focusing on, and just start focusing on what you want. And every time anything kind of creeps in your mind, you just stop at that moment. I was doing this when I was trying to manifest a relationship to come back together, and certain things would come back in where you're like, okay, this is what I want. And then you get this thought, it pop in your head and say, well, she'll never do that, or she doesn't want nothing to do with you. And you just got to stop at that moment and say, no, I need to focus on what I want, and what I want is what I feel and what I see. So you just reaffirm those things, even to the point where, as you're saying it, try to picture it. From one of the things I've done and studied, and if you can picture it and you can feel it, then it exists. It's just the idea of hanging in there and having the strength to actually manifest it into reality.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay, what do you think about that? Is that something you think
like
you can
that.
Resonate with? Okay.
Yeah, I do resonate with that because I do have the problem of, thinking of something and I do tell myself, it's like, why are you thinking that? You know, so stop thinking that way.
I always tell people the goal is when you have a negative thought, the goal is to turn it into a positive one.
Right.
But you got a situation where I'm never going to meet somebody. No, you say, I'm going to meet the person that I'm going to have the relationship I've always wanted to have with.
Right.
I see it, feel it, I know it, so therefore, it is.
Yeah.
I still tell people all the time, I mean, the one thing I was sort of focusing on, I say, okay, I want with Ruth, I was trying to simplify it, always trying to simplify the thing, because I feel like the more you simplify an affirmation, the more powerful it is. You know, they always say that less is more. So I was like, okay, how can we make it more simple? So I was like, okay, I put it in a simple way of thankfulness, too. I would say, well, thank you, God and angels, for Ruth calling me, and now we're back together, and we're having the marriage, the future, and the life we've always wanted. And it's great. Fantastic. Thank you very much. And it just say thank you about 12 times. Thank you, thank you. And if you want to, you can also throw a little bit on there of being thankful for all the things that you do, you already have.
Right.
I just feel like the more thankful you are, the less you can focus on the things that you haven't worked out.
Right. That's true.
It takes your mind into a different direction of where you really want to go. And that's what we want to do. We want a future. We want a brighter future. And you know for a fact right now what's going on. If there's anything still going on, it's a manifestation of how you used to think yesterday, which is manifesting now. So we want to change tomorrow, so therefore we have to change our thinking and focusing. And even ask ourselves, have I been talking to my neighbors or friends and rehashing certain things? Maybe I'm just reaffirming those things, and that's why things haven't really changed. So they're, we consider, say, manifest them, but sometimes we feel like we're stuck. We're not going anywhere. So therefore, maybe we're rehashing these things, and we're not manifesting them to keep happening, but we're just manifesting some bad energy so we can't move forward for other things to happen anyway. So in the process of, like I said before, taking certain things and turning them into positive affirmation, gets that energy flowing again and gets us moving forward. Is what we want to do.
Right.
So try those things. Go to Amazon.com and check out, there's a book on chakra clearing called by Dorian Virtue. There's another book by a guy named John Holland called Psychic Navigator, which has information in there, which is really good because it actually has some psychic, it has some, what was I talking about? Chakra. It has chakra chants in there. I love those things. I feel like what it is they have a certain chant for each one of the chakras, and you can say them all together, or you can focus on one, but what we're looking for here is balance in the body, too. So we have to think about the chakras, but we also have to focus on ourselves. As in the time we're focusing and balancing our chakras, we also have to sit there and take care of our bodies, because they both exist in the same plane, spiritual and physical.
All right. What's that book called again?
Which one? Or just book? Both of them?
Yeah.
The first point was called Chakra Clearing by Dorian Virtue. I recommend you get the book, the hard copy, because the hard copy, and make sure you get the hard copy that it has, because it's got a free CD in there. It actually goes over, it gives you, I always tell people, it's in the book, it's got the meditation written out, so you can actually take the meditation and put different music to them on different days. It gives you a variation. But they also have a CD in there that she has the meditations with the music. And I just think it's good to have that, because it gives you an example of what you should do in the midst of the meditation itself. And then there's another guy called John Holland. That's H-O-L-L-A-N-D. He has a book called Psychic Navigator. It also has a free CD in it, too. That one has chakra chanting in it. And both the books go into detail about chakras and auras. They both work together. It's like looking at your aura as being an extension of your spirit, which protects the body.
Okay. I think I'll look into those.
Okay. And the Dorian Virtue, like if you, I always tell people when you start going after books, if you're gravitated towards certain books, let yourself go through the whole and get the possibility of seeing if you can get those up there. I also want to stress to everybody else who's still out there, who's still on the line waiting to get on calls, we're going to stay on. I'm not sure how it goes since they got this new format, but we're going to try to stay on as long as possible and get to everybody who's waiting to ask a question or whatever. So just hang in there, and we'll get to you in a couple minutes. I also want to thank everybody for being here, and thank you for this great show. It was our first show, and I hope it's a show, you know, many shows. This is one of many shows, so therefore, okay. Come back and hopefully next week we'll have a Saturday show. We're thinking about doing a show tomorrow, Saturday. But keep posted, keep your eyes open. We're going to try to do some shows, and we're doing a lot of things about on relationships, because relationships are very important. And the one thing I keep trying to bring to the format is stuff that I experience. And relationships, this one I was just with, the hardest part about the whole thing is knowing somebody does feel the way they do and why they have distanced themselves can be really confusing. Even if you are a psychic and you know exactly why they're doing it, it can still be a painful situation because of what you know you could have if the person would just allow it to be. So with your situation, I guarantee, Penny, if you do some of these things here, I feel like by the end of the month, there could be some changes going on your life too, of people coming in and that kind of stuff. But also, in the process of doing all this work, you can recognize the good ones and the person, and we should look at the situation of the people you should be with concerned to people you're not supposed to be with. Because I was very angry with the situation when I was one person I got. And I was, and like I said before, I'm constantly focusing and saying, okay, this is what I want. And at the same time, keeping your mind open and letting it go, which is kind of hard to do when you're connected with people, to let them, just let things go. But that's the one thing you got, that's very important. In the process of letting go, if it is what it is, by you just letting go and living your life and going into, I guess you could say, in a different direction, that connection, if it's true, will actually pull them to you. And the more people deny things, we've all heard about the boomerang effect, right? The boomerang effect is when people keep pushing and denying, and they put things in between themselves. They block you. They do all kinds of stuff because they don't want to deal with their feelings that they have for you. And it could be the idea of friends and family around them to keep telling them all this kind of stuff, so they feel like the best thing to do, since you're just one person, is to get rid of you. So therefore, those other people stop bugging you. My daughter did it, too. So I was like, okay, we understand those things. I understand what's all going on. I mean, do relationship counseling, all kinds of stuff, but still, just the idea of understanding still doesn't take the factor out about the pain and feelings. But I do know for a fact that if you let it go, it always seems to come back stronger and better. It's just how you're willing to do that. So I feel like by letting go of your situation, a lot of things that you're still hanging on to, like once in, you'll be open to the possibility of having something really strong with somebody else. Working on being vulnerable, because you kind of, you seem like you're still holding back. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So just put this even play, and like I said, everybody out there, you know, you're more than welcome to contact me. I look at people all the time, especially with chakras and stuff like that, just to try to put it in perspective on how it works. The one meditation I like the most to connect with oneself is just to sit down, put your head down, focus on the space behind the heart, and I feel like that's the God essence. One thing we're always trying to connect with ourselves. And just focus on that, where you can actually feel it and see it. And then just keep telling yourself, I love, I love. And it's like you're reconnecting with yourself. And I don't feel like you can really be in any kind of position of loving anybody and being in a really good relationship until you come to the point of loving yourself. And that's not a selfish thing. It's just realizing who you are. And, what it's really all about. So try that meditation as well, because that's something you can do anywhere. I've done it before where I tell people, if you're in a situation and you feel a little stressed out, find a nice little corner somewhere and just breathe or do that technique. Or if once you get that book on the chakra chantings, you can do those about anywhere too. I used to do it in the steam room at the gym. You used to get some weird looks when I come out of there, but sometimes you got to think about what's best for you and not the embarrassment.
Right.
But if you have any problems with those, you're more welcome to. I think we're going to try to do a Friday show every Friday and every Saturday. I was doing 6 shows a week and bringing a lot of topics and that kind of stuff to the airways. But we might build up to that, but I have taken up about 4 months because of just overdoing it. Because I was actually doing the shows. I was doing all the work to put the shows together, getting guests and that kind of thing, and still working with my clients and doing readings and working for another company. And I was like, whoa, I got to slow down. It's okay to give, but there has to be some kind of balance of getting it back, too, as well. So it has to be a continuous circle.
Right.
If that's not happening, then that can be a problem. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm glad I called you. Very, eye-opening, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's like I already know that stuff, but it's like, you know, you forget. If you just, like, live in the outer world, you just kind of forget what you're doing.
Yeah, that's the one thing about situations. You got to, before you can be good for anybody else, you got to be good for yourself.
All right.
And I've told people before, I said, if I don't get my 2 mornings in the, I said, you see this great person? Yeah. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying it takes 2 hours in the morning to get that.
Right.
You have to have time for yourself. And it does get frustrating, the idea of trying to find that, you know, and I think it's one thing we've got to stop doing, too. We've got to stop looking. To be honest with you, the way I met Ruth, I met her through work. I was working for this company, Orandom. I recommend people come to Orandom. It's spelled Oranum.com. And basically what it is it's a psychic line, but you get to see me. We're on video cam or webcam.
That's cool.
And I met her. Yeah, so I met this girl on there, and she was, I felt like someone had been, you know, taking notice of me. I just didn't know who it was. And then all of a sudden, one day we started talking on there, and it came to light. And I told her, my thing was, if you're really serious about anything here, then you'll make the first move and contact me. Well, she did. She went through all this research to find me, and I was just like, anybody's going to go to that extreme to do that. And you have to, instead of looking at the situation, like a lot of people are sitting there saying, I got irritated with the whole thing of people saying, well, she could be a stalker or serial killer or something like that. Why can't we think on the other level that she might just be that
good
one?
Person.
Yeah.
Right.
In that kind of situation. And she contacted me. We started talking. And then she was just so, you know, so, there was a lot of things she was very forward about. Like this talk on webcam, this talk on Skype, this talk on Yahoo. So she wasn't scared to sit there and talk and see each other. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
And I think we also need to open our minds up to certain technologies that enhance that people that maybe we wouldn't have met before this technology, that we're meeting now for the reasons of actually finding the right person. Because, you know, we're all sitting there putting all this energy out there. I want to find the right person. I want to be with the right person. I want the right one. I want that one. That maybe some of the technology is being created because of those ones. You know, I always sit there and say, what if I get everything I want? What if Ruth does call me right this minute, in the process of her calling, we get back together and we have the relationship we've always wanted to have, and we have it with each other, and we have a great future? Or what if tomorrow I get exactly the money I've been focusing on, and start focusing on what if is in a positive way. But society right now has got what if I get hit by a car, you know, what if it rains tomorrow? And I'm just like, let's turn things around, guys. What if? Everything has polarity, so therefore there's always duality. So how come we're not thinking about that, thinking, well, what if it's only a one-sided thing, when it's not? You know, what if October is your month? And you do meet the greatest person you've ever met in your whole life, and then you'll start realizing that all the things you went through, which is leading you to that great experience. And that's the reason we want to do the radio. That's why we're trying to do the show. We're trying to bring positive things to people, saying, this is what's up. There are some days where I come on the show and say, okay, this person just pissed me off, and we need to talk about this. And we're saying, I'm tired of people thinking that relationships are disposable. But they don't realize what they're doing to other people in the process of disposable. As in, say, okay, my friend says that you're not real. And I've known this friend for 6 years. Whoopty freaking do. Maybe this person's been screwing your life up for the last 6 years, too. And I've had a person say, well, how would you know that? I said, maybe because I've actually been listening to you, and I've heard about all the things this person's done to you. So therefore, I will come to the conclusion this person's been more messing your life up than actually helping you out, and you've been using this person as a crutch to use him in the sense of the word, because let's think about it. Like attracts like, right? So if this person's using her, more likely she's using him as a crutch because she's scared of the unknown. And similar in the like, I'm always trying to find out that people are doing mean things to other people. we consider someone really evil. But if you really trace it down to the source, there's an insecurity or something, there's a root to the problem. There's a root to why they do what they do.
Right.
And it's more of the understanding that of helping people understand other people, that they are just who they are. And by looking at these situations, maybe we can make a difference by bringing up the surface and say, okay, you need to deal with this. Because a lot of people tell me that you're too blunt. You can't say certain things to certain people because you hurt their feelings. I say, if you hurt someone's feelings, that realization is there's more truth to what you're saying than they're willing to admit. And I feel like everything needs to be mentioned. Everything needs to be talked about. Everything needs to be said. There's stuff about, I mean, we're talking about communication.
Helping them.
Well, we're talking about communication. People say the root and what you really need in a relationship or the work is communication. But people want to sit there and look at communication as one-sided, too, and say, well, you know, as long as I say I love you and care about you and all this other stuff, then it's good. I got communication. They don't realize communication means voicing your opinion when you don't like it and being honest and not standing in the corner going, I can't stand when she does that, and just keeping it to yourself, because sooner or later, it's going to fester and come out. Maybe when you least expect it and you're going to hurt her feelings. It's the truth. But I think there's more constructive ways of doing things to bring that truth out, to help those people realize, well, that is you, and deal with it, and then help them. Not just drop a bomb in their lap and go, okay, see you later. I mean,
right.
When we had a situation with I traced back to Ruth. I think Ruth was, got herself into a situation where she might have done something she wasn't, that she would have never done. And I think in the process of doing that, let's say she messed around. In the process, she didn't want to deal with me, and she distanced herself from me. Why? Because she doesn't like me anymore? Or maybe she just because she felt guilty and she didn't know how to deal with that, and she didn't, didn't expect to feel that way because it made her realize that she really did love. We put it out to that she really did love me. So therefore, certain things have to happen, maybe to prove to her that it did exist. And maybe she went a different way on this whole thing, but it doesn't mean it won't come around to the point where, because I always tell people, she can present herself in the way she wants to on the outside, but those emotions and those feelings and everything else, they're still there on the inside. And she's dealing with them right now, maybe she's suppressing them, but we know, for a fact, when we talk about the boomerang effect, it's the idea of suppressing and suppressing and suppressing, that you can only do that for so long. And then if you get into a situation where you do have a happy moment, the body's going to sit there and go, well, you're happy now. Now you can deal with these, and they'll come flooding out like a freaking, like the boomerang. And then it's like a realization. You've seen this. I've seen this before I was traveling, and we lost touch because I couldn't get a signal from my laptop. So we could actually talk to each other on Skype. Well, she went on Facebook, and it was just this desperation. I need to talk to you. Is there something wrong? Did I do something wrong to you? And I was just, you know, scared that, and some people say, well, she could have, maybe it was something that was guilty there. I felt like it was one of those things that people talk about being in love, but I think sometimes when you're really there, it's not what you think it is. And it can be fearful, because here you are, I heard it described as, when you're deeply in love with somebody, you love it. But at the same time, you're scared to death you're going to lose it. And there's just all these emotions that go on at the same time. But those are normal, too, as well. So you have to sit there and put it all in perspective in your mind. But like I told everybody else, the more that you are in tune with yourself, the more you do all these processes of chakra clearing and meditation and grounding, it just makes it easier to deal with those situations that you know what it is. So you just keep going forward. People don't think these things are important, but I think they're very important. They all work as a whole, so therefore, like I said before, to be happy, no one's going to make you happy, but there will be people you can be happy with. But you're never really happy with nobody until you're happy with yourself, and that's what I was trying to say. And the situation I was in with her, we were very happy with each other. And it just seemed like it was really working out really well, and then all of a sudden I always feel like when people do 180s, they do 180s because of no one runs away from something that doesn't exist. So we do all those things. So you do those things, and like I said, you get the books. Sometimes people, I always tell people, you get the books, you're more welcome to contact me, and I can go over whatever you need to know. whatever you want to do with those situations, because I feel like they can really help. Or if you want to, you know, I always tell people private sessions are good because like we can actually go to those meditations and I can go in detail with you and give you some variation here and there. And the number is on the page. It's, what is it, 740-601-1058, or no, I'm sorry, 57. And I've had people go to the website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And people go in there, they see the prices, and they're like, whoa. I was like, well, those are just prices that start out. Any kind of session, I mean, I've done sessions for $5 or $10. It's just the idea that if anybody wants to work with me, I always tell them to call me. We'll deal with it from there on. Sometimes people just need things when they need them before they can actually have it. It's one of those things. I don't want someone to sit there and look at the prices on a website and say, well, I can't do this. I say, call me. You might get me in a good mood where I'll sit there and go, well, okay, let's just sit down and do something. Many times I walked into a store and did a poverty for somebody.
You what?
What?
What'd you say?
I said, do you know how many times I've walked into a store? I was working for the carnival this last summer. I did a palm reading for an insurance woman. And she looked at me and she goes, what are you working for a carnival for? She said, you just put everything down, the freaking money, everything, you're exact, accurate on everything. I'm like, okay. Did I charge that lady for anything? No. It's just sometimes people need what they need. I had a lady walk up and she was pregnant. And it's, what freaked her out was her kid wasn't moving. So it was just the idea of sitting down and giving somebody peace of mind so that she can go on with her life. And I've had so many people come back to me and say, you know, since you took the time, they take the time too, and they have a tendency to want to help me out as well, because if you've seen my site, you'll see that I'm trying to get back to Colorado. So it's like one of those things, let's all work together to get me out of this freaking godforsaken Ohio. Unless you like Ohio. Anyway, but... But please give us a call back and give us an update on your situation, because I feel like by the end of October, if you and I always stress, if you sit there and go through the process and work with those techniques and that kind of stuff and really find out who pin you, exactly what you want, and work with those with chakras and that kind of stuff, I really feel that by the end of October you'll definitely feel a difference, and I feel like
right.
You're definitely going to start attracting different people in your life.
Right. I've already been doing that, but I think you just, you know, sometimes you, because I'll do meditations and I'll think positive and feel really good, and I do find that things come to me real easy, but then, you know, there's times when you just let the outer world, you know, take a hold of you, and then you find your thoughts changing, and you get back into that old habit of thinking, you know. So it's just a process, you know, of training your mind, more or less.
Yeah, but when you do the meditation, it makes it easier when you do have those negative things pop in your mind, it makes it easier for you to stop and take it, well, I need to turn this into a positive.
Right.
I'm able to do it, kind of through with it. I tell people all the time, I'll be honest with you, there's some days where it's just like, you know, there's some things that happen and you get sideswiped and that kind of thing. I mean, it's like with the situation with me and Ruth when things started happening, I mean, to sit there and say, oh, you know, being nice about it and trying to control myself. No, I was pretty angry, pretty hurt, too. So I would, you know, I just tell people you need to express those things, too, as well. They're not bad. It's not bad to be angry. It's not bad to be hurt. It's just the idea of if you can sit there and really have a discipline to sit down and meditate, then you can understand why do I feel hurt. There must be some truth. There's something here and there's something going on and really look at those sides of the whole thing, which is definitely going to change things. Well, you can see the situation for what it is, and then when you, say, you get back together, then you can look at it from a different point and work on the issue itself, get past it, and maybe even make your relationship even stronger, and maybe even the bond that you have to really realize what it's all about. You know, sometimes, I mean, like I was saying before, I had a fiance where it was more of a realization of why we shouldn't have been together, what it was all about. You know, my angel said, when she calls you, which she will, It's like the ideal thing. Yes, we said she will call you, but at the same time, really listen. Don't sit there and come off and try to, you know, state your case. Listen.
Okay.
And see what you see. And when I started listening to her, we'd been broke up for like 3 years, and she was still rehashing things from 3 years ago. So, see, she was still 3 years ago. And it was just one of those things of saying, okay, are you willing to go back 3 years? Are you willing to do that where you're at now? You've accomplished this and the other. So, you know, you're going to go backwards. And it just dawned on me that picking up past lives and that kind of stuff could have been just a realization that somebody getting it in their head, or two people needed to go two different directions, and it took like 3 or 4 lifetimes to figure that out.
Right.
And finally, one of those things was sitting down and listening to and finding that. But it's also the same thing, the reason I was sort of stressing about Ruth, it could be something that something does come back in your life that is supposed to happen, it is good for you. The same techniques work to keep yourself clear and keep yourself open, to let it go. Because the more we attach ourselves to things, the more we hinder it from happening.
Right. Well, like those two relationships are, I'm not holding on to them, but there is, you know, the way it happens, so it was, you know, you get lonely and then you think, oh, you need love. And so you'll let those people back into your life, even though you don't. But I realize when you do that, you're just bringing, you know, that bad energy back. And when you really should be letting go and moving on, you know, keeping them, because you're bringing, thinking, let them think that, you know, there's a relationship and there's really not. So.
What you could do in the situation is of looking at those things and realizing one thing. You'd still love them. You might be angry about certain things, might do certain things, but I think the easiest way to get over that is to realize that you still love them, it just don't work. You go in two different directions. But because someone said, well, for example, Ruth did this to me. She said, I don't know what, it's like trying to justify things, and people were saying things to her. So she's trying to say things to me and saying, well, you know, I'm not in love with you. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I said, first of all, if you're going to try this crap, make sure you're not talking to somebody who actually does relationship counseling to realize there is no such thing. And she goes, oh, really? What do you mean by that? And it's like this. People who are in love are in the relationship. People who want to sit there and say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, are on the outside of the relationship trying to figure out what they want to do with it. But they still, there's either love or you don't. There's only two things. The energy of love is love. It doesn't have a frequency where it's like heavy or light. Okay? It's either it is or it isn't. And the more you get to know somebody, the more relaxed, the more you open up, the more that love comes out. It always existed. It's just the idea of trying to find out what kind of intensity we have, how much is there, or what, how it's supposed to be expressed. So because we know we love our friends, we just express it differently than we do with our spouse. So it's just the idea of doing that whole thing. I just feel like the more people get to know each other, the more they like the whole thing, the more they let it out.
Right.
And the reason I was sitting there telling people, why do you think, okay, Ruth has done what she's done, why do you sit there and say you still love her? Because I always did. Just because she decided to do what she did doesn't mean I love her any less. It exists. I mean, I can sit there and tell you, because they always sit there and I had to tell you, tell me this too. You're still in love with your ex-wife. I'm probably still in love with every freaking girlfriend I ever went with because I'm a loving person. That makes perfect sense that I would still love them. But I had to explain this to Ruth, too. Do you still love your ex? Yes, I still love my ex, but that doesn't mean nothing. I have a tendency to respect the person I'm with, and the reason I'm with that person is because I love them, too, but it works. That's why I'm with them. The other people I'm not. I'm not with them because it doesn't. Plain and simple, but don't sit there and look at me. I'd rather have a person tell me I'm still in love with all my exes, but the reason I'm with you is because we have something totally different than they do, and that's why I want to really work at this and really be with you. And then somebody's sitting there saying, oh, I didn't love anybody. The only person I love is you. That is a freaking lie. That person is telling me that they're not really a true loving person because they don't love everybody unconditionally. You know, just because it doesn't work doesn't mean you can't still love people. I mean, just look at our kids. Our kids screw up all the freaking time, and they do certain things like that, but we don't love them any less.
Right.
We still love them as much as anything else. So love exists. Love will always exist. But we have to put that in perspective and say, okay, I still love my ex-wife, but it doesn't work. She's with somebody else. It doesn't mean anything else besides that. Love is love. So I was trying to explain that to her, that I love you. I care about you. And realistically, never had a relationship like this, ever, ever. And to sit there and say, this is the way things are. And you have to accept that. And you're holding back. And you're using these little techniques because you're having a hard time to deal with it. Plus, you're also starting to notice, because I was telling people about this before, if you read this book called 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives, I think it's number 8 or number 9, family and friends, they want to hang on to every freaking thing. And they don't understand from their spouse, they're angry with them, realizing that if you tell somebody that you are the number one thing in my life and then make them number 2, don't expect them to be happy about it. And friends and family, true friends and true family will never go anywhere, no matter who you're with.
Right. Now, the biggest thing that people do is they want to blame others as to why, you know, they're mad or why they're hurt, that they always blame it on the other person. And what I've learned, and I just think it's absolutely awesome, and I've used this for years, even, you know, with coworkers, you know, people that I don't even hang out with, but I've learned this prayer back when I was married. I'd pray to God to love and respect that person for who they are and love them more and more each day. And when I did that, I had, like, with my ex-husband personally, it was all of a sudden I seen him in a different light, and I didn't feel angry towards him, and we became friends, but that whatever we were holding on to, it was like, you know, I no longer needed that. And we ended up divorcing, but we were friends. And I've done that ever since with, you know, like coworkers, if I ever got mad. And I've actually felt it change, and, you know, I felt them change towards me, too. I mean, it's just really, really wild. And it's just putting that love out there, you know, respecting that person.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you feel like, you know, you didn't do anything to them or you know, you're not mad at them or whatever, but it's just to pray to respect and love them. I even do that to my kids, and I find that when I do that, we're actually, you know, we're closer, you know. So it's really, really wild.
It is wild. I was sitting there, I mean, that's what I was trying to, when I was sitting with Ruth, I said, the one thing I tried to really work on with any, you know, like thinking about other relationships and then focusing on the situation with her, I just really wanted to focus on her, who she was. And I was very physically attracted to her, sexually, and what, you know, but it was also just everything, you know. So it was like, I would sit there in days and just try to focus on the essence of who she was. And I think that was reason that there was such an intensity with falling in love with somebody was because the idea of realizing that we really fall in love with the essence of people, and the ones that last the longest are not just physical attraction. The physical attractions have a tendency to fizzle out because, you know, the physical attraction is a surface thing, but when you're attracted and really hold to someone's essence, that's the spirit, the soul, the whole thing about them. And we talk about soulmates, we talk about twin flames, and that's what it is. I mean, it's a spiritual thing. And those other things just seem to be enhanced by that. And when they do, I feel like that's one of the prime examples of really something real that we're all looking for, is that one person that we're going to connect with. It's going to, you might not have everything in freaking common, but there will be something. It's just the idea of ease about the whole thing. Looking at somebody and saying, okay, I've, you know, known these other people for years, but for some reason we know each other for like 3 or 4 months. We know each other more than most. We know each other more than anybody else around us, and we've only known each other for this amount of time. To me, that's just a true connection of saying, being open and saying, okay, this is who you really are. This is who I am, and I have no problems in showing that to you. And you do. These other people, you had a tendency not to do that, and I think it's because, you know, there's just certain things you do with other people. It just, for example, I used to look at her, it would give me shivers, just put it that way. You ever had someone give you shivers? In a positive way. Let's stress on that, a positive way. I've had some people give me some shivers and I want to run. But that was just the way it was. It was just, I mean, and I just look at her, and there was also something about the whole thing where I just, like I said before, I just wanted to be with her. And it was
right.
like being with a person where you can be in the same room with each other and you don't have to do anything sexual or anything. You just like being with each other or love being with each other. And, you know, I mean, she was in England, so we used to talk on Skype, and it was always a cool thing to sit there and talk to her. And just some of the things she would do when she, because there were 5 hours ahead. So when I was doing my show, she would stay up, which was like 3 o'clock, like 3 o'clock in the morning where she's at. And she would stay up all night. And there was a lot of times where we sit there and it was kind of cool to see the sun come up on the other side of the, come up on the other side of the world. Or to leave a webcam on where I could sit there and watch over her while she slept, where she felt safe. Just things like that. Really important things where you sit and look at things and say, okay, well, yeah, there were some sexual things and that kind of stuff, but it just seemed like, I guess, a small thing, certain things, but just being with somebody where you just really wanted to really take it to the point where you put things in perspective and just wanted to take it to the next level, and the next level, and then those next levels just started falling into place. You can get angry with somebody that got scared of those levels because they were so easy than they've ever been before in the past. But it doesn't mean it won't work itself out to the point where that person will come to that realization and realize that there was somebody actually who cared about them, not what they would do for them, or, you know, not because of sex or not because of anything else, but just the idea of somebody actually liking them or loving them for who they are. Even the bad thing. I'm saying, okay, she's a pain in the butt because she, you know, she does certain things, but it's hard to find a person who looks at a person and says, no, that's part of her. That's a whole ball of wax, you know. You take some of those things away, and then you only have half a person. So you want to fall in love with the whole person. That's the idea of understanding those things, that a lot of those things are only human traits on the surface. But
right.
Ruth herself is underneath that surface. Like we were talking about before, when you meditate on the meditation, meditating on that God essence, that's what attracts everybody, each other, is that love, that intense, unconditional loving. And if we can learn how to really appreciate that and understand what it's all about, then we're actually connected to everybody. Everybody's connected. We're all loving, caring beings, and we like that. That's one thing we are definitely attracted to, where we like being around people and that kind of stuff. Sometimes we don't, but there's always that interaction, you know? And relationships are one of them. And I just don't, sometimes I get the questions that people go, am I ever going to meet somebody? Or, you know, will it ever happen for me? Or am I supposed to have somebody in my life? And I just feel like everybody in this freaking world has a significant other. I think it's more of a twin flame than a soulmate, but then again, interpretation.
Right.
So we have to put those things in our minds and say, okay, what are we going to do here? Are we going to give up on this whole thing? And I mean, I think sometimes with the situation of focusing on, I want this person back, maybe we should start focusing on one thing. That's one thing I want to stress to everybody is, we can focus on people as much as we want to, but the one thing we have to take into consideration, are we that too? Are the things that you're focusing on that you want in a significant other, are you those things too as well? And if you haven't met that person yet, more likely the thing is you need to focus on yourself to make sure that you are those things.
Right.
Are you a natural person? Are you a unconditionally loving person, a respectful, faithful? Well, that was this thing down the list of things I wanted in a relationship and that kind of stuff. And then I took it one step further and started looking at those things and say, okay, am I these things? And then made sure, and if I wasn't, I worked on those things. And then, sure enough, it's like one of those things, you know. I've always noticed after you work on those things, there's always something that comes in afterwards. And it could be a job. It could be more on your career. It could be anything. But those things seem to be connected in some ways of working on ourselves in order to maintain and bring these things in her life.
Right.
I've always believed that. We are the vehicles that manifest the things in our life.
Right. I do believe that. I believe whatever you focus positive on and believe it, you know, it's there, it'll come to you. It may not be the way you have it in your mind, but it'll come to you.
Oh, yeah. So I was sort of thinking about, and sometimes you got to watch out things, too. I mean, if you listen to your guidance, it might actually come the way you think, too. They're just trying to focus you and put you in the right position, the right place, too, as well. Because I was telling my friend of mine, I was like, man, if I could just take that journal I had that first time I got back with my ex-fiance, it was uncanny to read that journal after I got back with her, because everything in that journal happened. And I got very detailed about a lot of things. I told my friend, I was like, I even got down to the point of saying, okay, they were saying, what kind of sex life do you want to have? So I got very detailed about that whole thing, too, when we got back together. It was kind of funny how she would, she just got more things where she was, like, focusing and more caring and more intense, and all those things just seemed to fall into place. The one thing that I wrote in there that freaked me out the most, okay, is I just kind of nonchalantly wrote, since she took off and left, that she needed to come back and pick me up and take me home with her. And I was like, okay, I know where she's living. She's living in Florida. She took off to go to her mom's. I'm still stuck in Ohio. And it was kind of funny that after I let that go, and I would just keep reaffirming it, this is what's going to happen. I forgot about that one. It didn't dawn on me until actually a friend of mine came to me one day and said, okay, you think your girlfriend's in Florida. And the guy looked at me, because I was thinking, I'm going to get to Florida without spending a lot of money to get there, because I'm in Ohio. Some guy just came to me and said, I'm going to Florida after we get done working here. You're more than welcome to ride down there with me. And he was basically where he was going to Tampa. And I found out later on she was like 15 miles from there. So see, all these things fell into place.
Nice.
Okay. Even the thing I told you before, when I said I just wrote this thing nonchalantly, that she would come pick me up and take me home. She actually, I called her up and we started talking. She came to the hotel where me and Chuck was staying at. She picked me up. And before it was all over, she had taken me home with her. So I was like reading my journal and she was going, kind of funny, I was actually hesitant to even write that in there. But I did it anyway. And that one panned out too. But,
I do that too. And I find like almost everything happens, even though you find out maybe later that's not what you really wanted, and it's more or less like, you know, you do have your free will. God's given you the free will, but you don't always make. You know, you can pretty much manifest anything in your life that you want, but a lot of that stuff that you think you want is not really what you need, you know.
Well, that's the reason I came up with that one thing, because I actually read it in one of these books. I can't remember where I got it from. But I wrote that one down. For some reason, that one just stuck with me. I said, this makes a lot of sense, because if I write this down, because it was basically what I was telling everybody, where you sit there and put down, you focus, you manifest what you want. And as you're focused and visualizing, you just kind of, I put a twist on it and said, a little saying I put down there says, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of everyone concerned. And I told everybody, that's a good saying, because what it's saying is, this is what I want.
Right.
But the universe has something better for me. I'm also open to that too as well. So you're opening all the doors.
Right.
Get whatever you want. But it also puts down that it will also be done for the best interest of everyone concerned. So everybody gets what they want. And it's always a positive, happy thing. Those center town friends have said, you consider looking at manifestations that you know for a fact that are very positive, because everybody gets what they want. If I ask for a ride home, the girl who picks me up that I haven't seen in a month, she's going to ask me some questions. And I want to ride home. So, see, she gets what she wants and I get what I want. My daughter was sitting there trying to get married, and I said, I think you should hold off and do the whole thing. And she said, nope, I'm late right now. And I feel like that's a selfish thing, because the way it played out, she owed me $50. And she just had to take that $50 and get married. So, see, everybody didn't get what they deserved. So she got what she wanted. Plus, she was also saying that she had to get married on that day. She just had to do it. So she pushed it until she got what she wanted. But at the same time, there were some people who didn't. And some people, I'm just saying, some people just didn't get what they wanted. So I just look at that as something that could have been done differently. It wasn't done with the flow. It was something that was forced and manipulated. But the manifestations I had, because I noticed when I did that ride thing, I was at the bus station. And I was at the bus stop, and I was like, I don't want to sit here. So I was really honest and said, okay, God and angels, I don't want to sit here. So could you please have somebody come by in 5 minutes? It could be an old client, an old friend, whatever. They can give me a ride home. And as soon as I let it go and started waiting for that ride, sure enough, somebody pulled up in 5 minutes. I hadn't seen in a month, and she wanted to ask me some questions and do certain things, and she got what she wanted, and I got what I wanted. So I was like, that's a good thing, because if you let it go, it just went right along with the flow and everything. She just kind of like drove by.
Right.
But I was trying to stress everybody. It was an honest thing, too. I told us, and I was like, God knows, this might sound like I'm lazy or something or impatient, but I just don't want to sit here. I'm just being honest. I want to go home. And next thing I know, I was home.
Right.
You know, it's just certain things like that. I mean, when I met Ruth, I think it was another thing, too. I just sit here and said, you know, if it's supposed to be, it will. And I just kind of let it go. We talked, we contacted, I gave her the information, and it was up to her to do what she wanted to do with it. And I got a response from her in like a half hour, where it's like, hey, how you doing? And we started talking, and a lot of things going on. Some people listen, some people don't. Some people listen for a while and get into really good relationships, and then they stop listening because the fear of, like I said before, some people don't understand that in the process of going from being single to being in a relationship, there are certain things in which making your choices that are going to be pushed to the
road. One of those things that we're in relationships, though, is people tend to expect, you know, when you expect from somebody and just instead of respecting who they are, you tend to see them in a different light, you know. And I recant, too, and I see a lot of people, you know, it's like almost everybody, you know, 99% of people, usually in their 20s, I do believe that, you know, most of the hands that I see, everybody's love, you know, their strongest love is, like, later in life. And they all have, like, loves in their 20s. But it's like, you know, they have to go through that learning process how to relate to somebody. And, you know, if they're unable to do that. And there's some people who only have one love throughout their whole life. But it's, you know, they were able to respect that person. But most people I have seen, you know, just like myself, you know, you had love at a young age, but you went through a hard time with that love. And it's because you didn't really respect that person for who they were. You just, you kind of like assumed what kind of person they were, and you had expectations. You know, you thought they were somebody they weren't. And I think everybody goes through that. And that's like the biggest lesson in life, is not to expect from others, because when you expect, you tend to resent that person, you tend to wonder why, you know, why the love failed or why that person did you wrong, when really nobody did you wrong, it's just didn't really see that person for who they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, if you expect, just like, you know, when you get used to somebody being around you and they're always cooking dinner for you, well, after a while, you tend to expect that. You come home and expect, you know, dinner to be there. And then when they don't, you get upset. And so it's learning not to expect things from people. It's just, you know, let them be who they are. And if you pray that every day, you know, to just respect that person for who they are, then you'll actually see that person, and you, those expectations that you think that have to be no longer is, and you'll learn to, you know, the love will be stronger.
Well, yeah, so I think it's the idea of appreciation and respect and looking at, like I said before, looking at people and so trying to, I guess that's one thing I was trying to say about Ruth. I was trying to look at her and see her for who she was, instead of looking at her and saying, well, I know someone else who used to be like that, or someone did that, or someone said those things, and then I think if you sit here and look at the person that you're actually looking at that moment, you can see that those other people wasn't sincere in what they said. And you're trying to, so you need to respect the person you're with at that moment, that she can be exactly what you want, because that's what you actually put out there for.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, okay, my friend said that once before too, and they were mean to me. And we should be looking at this person and saying, okay, go with the flow. This person has said something, but the only reason we're doubting it is because of what someone else said to us, not because of what they said. And see that, because I mean, that's one thing I was always telling everybody, is the idea of communication, is the idea of finding out information and seeing people as sincere. And then you could cancel out the other person who did something wrong to you by someone who was sincere in what they said. So then you have that vision in your mind that makes it easier for the relationship. You know what I mean? When you sit there and look at it, it's just canceling out one, like someone said it to you and said, I love you to the end of time. And someone said it to you before, but they just never followed through with it. And then you have another person saying the exact same thing. I think we should respect that person, that she just might be telling you the truth and see what happens. And if it does happen, I think automatically what happens is it cancels out the old thought that we had from the person who did it, didn't follow through, to the person who did. And the other thing that people say, you know, we've heard people say things are like the guy's giving roses and that kind of stuff. See, another guy gave her roses who actually used it just to get, you know, get her in bed. Or his other guy giving her roses, I think she should respect him enough to say, well, maybe he's sincere and he does care about me and he's giving me roses because that's how he feels. He has no expectations but to express himself. Sometimes we have a tendency to sit there and hold on to those things and say, well, this person's, you know, because I think that's what me and Ruth's biggest problem was here, is she's got friends and family who are negative anyway. And I noticed that when she got away from them, it was just me and her, that we sit there and opened up to each other, took it for face value, and things like that happen. And then you have a lot of influence from other people coming in, and maybe some of the things I said and did, she's had people do it before, because I was sitting there saying, I thought she was a beautiful person. I told her, you have to look at the situation. She said, I don't think I'm beautiful at all. I said, you're a beautiful person. I said, maybe I should explain to you what that means to me. It's the idea of seeing somebody, seeing the whole person. Not just the physical beauty on the surface, but the whole person themselves. And I said, I see you, and I like that. And I think it's a beautiful thing. So you're a beautiful person to me. And she was like, huh, I never had it explained to me like that before. That's because I don't think anybody really took the time. I think sometimes when you have people in your life who take that, hold on a second, who take that time to explain to you, helps you cancel out negative things that have happened to you with somebody else. If someone cares that much to take the time to help you understand, instead of looking at you and going, get lost. You don't understand me. Because I think it's what happened with us when she started looking at me and having some issues with people controlling her. And then I would say something about something I didn't trust, or something just didn't seem right. And I asked a question about it, and then she sat and talks about it to somebody else. And they said, well, he's controlling. When I think a lot of times what really screws people up is they go to a friend to get advice, to find out what's going on, and that person's going to, you know, if that person's a negative person, more likely you're going to get a negative response. So I think that's when we really need to really trust our own instincts and our own feelings and what's going on.
Yeah.
To look at somebody and go, well.
A lot of times, though, when you're in love, you tend to be blinded and not really see the true thing. So, I mean, I do believe that I should really focus on, instead of seeing, you know, you want this person to be this way, or, you know, you want your relationship to be this way, so focusing on that, you know, I truly, truly believe to make the relationship, the only thing that really makes the relationship better is when you focus on, you know, respecting and loving that person for who they are. I mean, to me, that truly works. And just there's no thinking that you have to do this. You know, what you're doing is making this person happy, or what you're saying to this person is making that person happy. You're just yourself, and you see that person in a different light.
Yeah, no, I understand. I agree with that one, too, where if you just love somebody because that's who you are.
But, you know, even if you're blinded and you're not able to see something clearly and you're not understanding why that person's doing that, or you're not understanding, you know, what happened. I mean, when you just feel, when you're questioning yourself like that, mm-hmm. it's like just, you know, asking to just respect that person and love that person for who they are. It like opens it up to where you actually see, you know, it like makes you see clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that. I do that all the time with everybody, you know. Everybody.
Oh, you love somebody. You love someone unconditionally.
Yeah, but I'll do that with strangers and coworkers and, you know, people that, you know, I have no really relationship with. But I'll do that, and I will actually have a better relationship with that person. You know.
You just love them.
Yeah, you just love them. But it's like you have to actually tell yourself to respect them for who they are, even though you think you respect them. But to actually tell yourself, not for them to respect you, but for you to respect them and to love them for who they are. And then you'll see them in a whole different light. And it's like you'll see the goodness in them. And you won't question, you know, why they did this, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, why were they doing this to you? And why are they,
right.
you know, you question what they're trying to think. Because that's what a lot of people do in relationships, too. They'll think, well, I don't understand, you know, what he's thinking, you know. So they'll sit there and come up with scenarios in their head, why they did this or what
mm.
they were thinking, when all they really had to do was just stop. Yeah, just stop and respect them for who they are, and then you would clear. Yeah.
Yeah. No problem. Well, I'm going to get
I truly believe that works.
Well, I'm going to definitely try that, too. Because I was trying to do the same thing with people was asking, you want to get back with her, right? Maybe you should do this, and this. I feel like I should just jump in the mornings and say, I know I'm not with her right now, but to have really a lot of faith in what it's all about, to just sit there and get up in the morning and go, just tell them you love them. Even if they're not there or not, you just say, I love you. And my thing was, I love you. I hope to see you soon. Or hope you call soon. It's kind of like a nerve-wracking right now because she's basically blocked me on every freaking thing. And a friend of mine was like, what'd you do? And I said, to tell you the truth, all I said was one day I was sitting there telling her that she seems to avoid everything that we talk about that has to do with any kind of feelings or emotion. And she just wants to keep saying, I just want to be friends. I just want to be friends. And my thing was, I was trying to stress to her and say, I can't be less than what it is. And you're sitting there saying, well, just be friends. Let's just be friends. And I said, you know, 3 or 4 days before we were like in this relationship and stuff, and now you just want to be friends. And it's kind of like, I just can't put the brakes on and go, okay, just do this. And she goes, well, if you really care about me, you'll do this. And I was like, well, that to me is being pushy. Because you're saying, if I care about her, then I'll do this. And it's not that. That's how it works. I mean, that's the problem. I love you. I care about you. So therefore, those need to be expressed in some kind of sense of the word, where I need to sit down and talk to somebody about it. And I just feel like being a relationship counselor as much as I've done, I feel like those things, in order to make any kind of headway or any kind of sense of them, they have to be talked about between the two people that are in the situation, the relationship, or you know, if they break up or something like that, needs to be talked about. And since she just wanted to be friends and stuff, I guess my hardest part about was being psychic. When she says things, I see the opposite. I don't know if that might sound crazy to some people, but when I see her, everything's the opposite. And I think it's because she's dyslexic. I can't say the word. How do you say the word? Dyslexic?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm talking about, right? And it's basically when you see things in reverse.
But also when you're psychic too, I think it's hard to do it on people that you have emotions for, because you let the emotion get in the way, you know. I think that's really cool, because I read cards, and I can't really do cards on myself or my children. I just can't, you know, it's because I automatically see what I want to see instead of seeing what truly is, so.
Let's do some cards on me.
I can do cards on you.
No, you could, what?
I said I can do cards on you if you want. But, I mean, well, I do believe, you know, you're psychic, but I think it's probably hard for you to actually see, you know, what her true feelings are or what she's thinking or anything like that, because she puts the emotion into it.
That could be, too. I'm just saying, when I was with her and that kind of stuff, the biggest thing I would hear was friends come through, where she said, you can't let your heart... You can't follow your heart. You have to listen to your head too. I'm like, that's not a true statement. I mean, it just kind of basically goes against everything, because love is the key to everything. And the idea of not following one's heart is when people usually get in trouble with themselves, saying, "Well, you know, the world says this, the world says that." Forget what the world says. If the world had it right, then the divorce rate wouldn't be so high. This wouldn't be that way. We wouldn't have unemployment. If the world was right about everything, then everything would fall into place. It's not until we really work on the spiritual part to balance that out. And even with the relationships, it seems like when you have that spiritual connection with each other and you work on it and you express yourself, like you said before, it has to be an unconditional thing where you express yourself all the time. And communication means when I don't like something about you, I need to say that too. It all needs to be out in the open. And people say, well, when you say those things, they're kind of mean to people. Well, there's a tactful way of doing everything. And you can sit down with your spouse and say, well, there's certain things that just irk me about you. But sometimes we look at those as rejection when they're just stating a fact. And that's those things we do, too. For example, when I was talking to her, she looked at me and she said, my friends say this. And I said, well, first of all, we can't let our friends be a part of our relationship. You can let them be your friend. But I think the true friend is a friend who respects the relationship that you're in. I think a true friend is a person who sits there and says, this is what you want. So therefore, I might not like this person, but being objective about the whole thing, to actually look at somebody, who look at somebody else and see if it works or it doesn't work. I had a lady sitting there looking at me one time and said, I don't like your girlfriend. But it works.
I could never really say that to anybody,
I don't like the girl, but you guys work. You guys are good with each other. You guys make a great partnership. So, see, she was honest about what she saw. Now, she didn't like the girl, but then again, if you would have saw these two people, I think she didn't like her because it was like a reflection of her own self. So,
see relationships and I know they're not going to work, I don't tell the people or anything, you know, and when they come to me and tell me their horror stories and, you know, their ups and downs and their what, know why, you know, you just, you know, let them know, you know, I mean, just try to help them help themselves, but let them live their relationship, because it's just a live and learn thing, you know, and you got to experience it for yourself.
No, I understand, because, I mean, but see, I have friends that are very, they tell me, and that's what I want. I want my friends that like something. I want them to tell me. That's honest to me. I have a friend right now where I'm having a tough time talking to her because we were supposed to go to Myrtle Beach, and I had a friend of mine mess everything up. He was supposed to give me some money and give me a ride to the bus station so I can actually go down there and meet her. So we were going to go to Myrtle Beach together. Well, he didn't show up, and plus he didn't